When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, my friends. The Best Show is back for another Tuesday night installment. We are here, ready to bring you the single greatest radio show / podcast you have ever heard in your life. Now that you've tried the rest, try the best show. You get that, Mike? You like that? Now that you've tried the rest of the shows, try the best show. And I tell you, man, you try these other shows, one's worse than the next. This show, there's a reason why the show's, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason why nobody, we're in the toilet, right? The reason why. The reason why we're in the toilet. We're fighting our way out of the toilet. It's going to be the new shirt, fighting our way out of the toilet. Best show. 2015, fighting our way out of the turlet. Blowing up turlets left and right. The topic tonight, let's talk about those times you lied or you were lied to. Hashtag it at I was lied to. All sorts of good stuff coming up on the best show. Let's get it going.
Jersey, back again.
Show. Hey, everybody, it's The Best Show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of The Best Show. We're here with you on a Tuesday night. Everybody's here. We got AP Mike in the house. Holding it down. Associate producer of the show. There's no show without him. No show without him. Went to Costco, got some snacks, because I know how, because he likes his snacks. We all like our snacks here. I tell you, man, though, when... He liked these coconut crunch things, coconut crunchers, is that what they are? What are they called? Cashew clusters. Okay. He liked them, then I got a bunch, and then he switched over to this other thing he liked. The, what are they called? Cheese crisps. And I tell you, I was, looking all over this Costco for these things because I just knew, oh, God forbid I don't get the snack he likes. And I could not find him. And I laid all these snacks out on the counter. And then he came and he's just like, no cheese crisps, huh? And I'm like, no, they didn't have them. He's just like, like, he was just like sad. It was like he was disappointed in me, which I was like, it made it more sad that I was, that I had hurt him by not having his favorite snack. I tried, Mike. I tried. I walked all over that Costco. You should have seen me looking for those chips, cheese crisps. I got you trail mix instead. Got you a nice big bag of trail mix. That's not good enough? You don't like trail mix? A lot of M&Ms in that trail mix. What trail are people eating that on? What trail... are we at now where trail mix, half of it is candy and the other half is like low grade peanuts? Like, peanuts are the lowest grade of all the nuts, and these peanuts are like, they are they like chocolate covered even? I think they're even like, the only trail I could think you'd eat them at is like the trail in to the register at Costco is the only trail. That's like the only journey where you'd need, oh, let me brace myself for the journey ahead from the snack aisle to the register at Costco. Well, I hope you can pull it together out there with those snacks, Mike. I tried. What did we hear music-wise? Oh my goodness, we heard Destroyer. Played it last week, played it this week. Times Square, that's good stuff, man. I saw them, saw Destroyer live on Saturday night in Philadelphia. That was a great show. They're so great. That new album's so good. Time, it's on Merge. It's called Poison Season. It's one of the best albums this year, easily. It's one of his best, Dan Behar, and it's one of their, the year's best. Destroyer. You see a band that good, and then you're like, oh, that's what it's like when things are inspired. You see people super inspired. And I loved it. It was actually meaningful to me. Who did we hear before that? Oh, Kim and Leanne. That's Kim Simon from The Scientists. New record from him. Carry On Baggage is the name of that song, and the record is called, the LP is called True West. Put out here in America on the Hozak label. So good. Man, that guy's made so much good music. Still making it. How do you like that? Guy's still in it. In it to win it. the topic tonight. I was lied to. What are the times that you've been lied to in your life? What are the times you lied to others? Let's talk about it. It'll make for an interesting program. So, right before the show begins, Studio comes running in and says, Billy Crystal's trending on Twitter. Like, here we go. What did he do? Maybe this is it. Maybe we finally get this guy behind bars. First I was like, oh God, please let him be okay. And then I heard he was okay. And I was like, oh, thank God he's okay. But then he's, what happened? He was at a Yankee game tonight and he stood up all mad. Because what happened? The Yankees, did they get bounced from the playoffs tonight or something? They're the wild card. But what is tonight's game? So it's a one-game playoff to make the playoffs. And did they win? So if they lose tonight, they eat it. They're done. Shown the door. They're down 1-0. So this could be it for the triumphant season of New York Yankees hero Alex Rodriguez, who apparently there's been some sort of amnesia mist was released over all Yankee fans that he's their hero again. Yeah, but it just like, I'm never going to root for him again. I never want to see him in a Yankee uniform. Comes out, hits a home run, boo. Comes out, hits a second home run, slightly less boos. Hits a third home run, a little bit of cheering. Fourth home run, yeah! Let's go, A-Rod. Suddenly everybody loves him. I tell you, man, people cheer for anyone. Anyone. They're wearing your team's uniform, they cheer for anyone. With the Patriots, if Aaron Hernandez escaped from jail, he's in jail for murder, and if he did some sort of thing where he sneaks onto the field and then goes back on the lam before every game, like after every game, he goes back on the lam. The police are chasing him all week. Those Patriots fans would be cheering him. Mass murderer. He's basically a mass murderer. He killed like a bunch of people. And I want to say right now, this is AP Mike. I'm talking all about Aaron Hernandez, and Tom doesn't badmouth him. This is in case Aaron escapes from jail. My name's AP Mike, and I think you're trash, Aaron Hernandez. And this is a challenge to you. Tom's on your side, but I don't like you. I don't like the cut of your jib, and I think I could beat you in a fight straight up. That'd be a good fight. AP Mike and Aaron Hernandez. Bare knuckle fight. The streets of Bayonne. Yeah. So Billy Crystal stood up and then I guess he had like a little angry look on his face, he's mad at his heroes. He's mad at his heroes, the Yankees. Still fooling him. This bum Billy Crystal. Actually played in preseason for the Yankees. Oh, it's his 60th birthday. We got to honor this. Why do we got to honor this guy? Why? Oh, he loves the Yankees. Oh, he's the one guy who loves the Yankees so much? Oh, he's the Yankee fan. Okay. Well, by all means, let's let him on the field. And I'm sure I've said this before. If I was pitching for the opposing team and Billy Crystal came out and I was supposed to, like, pitch to this guy, Billy Crystal right now would still be in the hospital. I would throw at his head. Because if he's going to step on the field, I would throw the fastest ball I could ever throw in my life and see if I could brush him back. Give him a little chin music, as they call it. A bum. He's a bum. That's me, Billy Crystal. Now he's mad. He's in a little tantrum at Yankee Stadium. Somebody should have dumped a beer on his head. Right? You see him stand up at the game? He'd be the only guy in the home uniform who gets a beer dumped on his head. It's really a great night. Billy Crystal throwing a temper tantrum at Yankee Stadium. You got Jay Leno apparently has done, what did he fill in for Jimmy Fallon tonight? So he's positioning himself. I've always thought he's been laying in the weeds waiting to take back the Tonight Show for a third and final time, which I would, if he did that, it would be like, everybody's got to show this guy some respect. That's like ultimate villain level stuff. That's like Scarface level. If he took it, he ran Johnny Carson out. He beat Letterman. He beat Conan. He's got to do it one final time. Fallon. He's got to steal it from Fallon. I'm telling you. One final time. I'm rooting for you, Jay. Take it from him. Take it from him, Jay. Jay, you got one supporter on your side. You got Tom cheering you on. All these other comedy snobs, they don't want nothing to do with you. Sure, I don't think you're funny. But I just want to see the spectacle of it. I want you to take the Tonight Show back. Do one final show, then get on a motorcycle and just drive off and nobody ever hears from you again, right? He does one final show. He gets Jimmy Fallon fired. One final, gets into a Model T at the end of it, quits. We never hear from him again. Do it, Jay. I'll help you. I'm in your service, Jay. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, Master. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey there, Thomas.
Oh my goodness, I knew this is.
Yes.
This, now for people who are new to the show, we've got people who've been listening for years, and we got new people joining the fold too. You know, when you do a call-in show, you're going to have your regular cast of characters, and this guy is a long-running caller to the show.
Yes.
He's from the state of Florida, the proud state of Florida.
Yes.
The one and only Fredericks from Newport Richey. Now, this guy...
I had to stand up when you said that.
If you're wondering, you're saying to yourself, what's the deal with Fredericks? And don't take this the wrong way, Fredericks.
I probably will.
This guy, he sounds like an acid casualty. He sounds like... He sounds like a guy...
He's taken lots of different ways.
He sounds like a guy whose brain has been fried from pushing against the horizon one time too many. Right? Trying to find that as the eternal truths, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it pushes back, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Boy. Yeah.
Pushed back a little. Once in a while, it pushes back, right? And you're like... Oh, yeah. There are things I'm still not supposed to know yet.
That's right. Maybe you shouldn't have a body when you get to some of them.
Oh. So you hear this guy, and you're like, what's the story with this guy? Well, I'm telling you.
Good. I'm curious, too.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Oh. You are, too.
He's fun. Well, yeah, of course I am. It's my show.
Right.
A good guy.
I know that.
And you're saying... Do you think it's possible a guy like this could do podcasting? Well, of course it is. He does a pod. You still doing your podcast?
Yeah, I just did my 100th episode.
Your 100th episode of, it's called Frederick's Mind Thing.
Yes, sir, it is.
And yep. And it's a, it's a, it's a, a trippy experience. You listen to this thing. It's really bonkers. Where can people get Frederick's Mind Thing?
Just put Frederick's Mind Thing in any search engine you have handy.
Oh, I love it. You're not on the Google party line. You're just saying search engines.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I do use it occasionally, but
yeah. Down with Google. Right down with Google.
Hmm?
We're on the same page, down with Google, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except for they're better than everybody else, which makes it difficult to
Someday, man. Someday, somebody's got to come along and they got to do better than Apple and they got to do better than Google. I'll switch in a second.
Me too.
Right? So what's going on, Fredericks?
I've got so much stuff, Tom. I've tried to call. I don't know where to start. I'm going to give you some choices if you like, okay?
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. One is I have things for some of your last shows.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's all right. You know,
For you, it's okay.
Oh.
For you.
Yeah.
All
right.
For you.
All right. There's a poem I heard. I think it might be by King Missile, but I'm not sure. It reminds me of that, but it was a poem read over music, and it was about God being a spider.
Okay. What's that? This is for identify it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. You got to tell me which topics we're doing here.
Okay. Okay, and the next one is Flipper.
So you're looking for a King Missile song.
Is
about
it?
God being a spider.
I think it's King Missile, but I haven't been able to find it.
You think it sounds like King Missile?
Yes, that was the closest I could come to. Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody just showed me a picture here of Billy Crystal. Looks like he's wearing a cap, like he's auditioning for the Seniors Newsies League. He's wearing one of those caps, and he's got his beard grown in, and he's wearing his rounded glasses, and he just looks like a real, real treat for the eyes, this guy. And him at a Yankee. He's mad. I tell you, that's when you need somebody on the other team to, do like in the natural when he could like control his like foul balls and like.
Oh,
right?
Yes. And target him.
Yeah. Target him, right?
Yeah.
You'd
have to have a lot of control. You'd need like a Ted Williams or something.
Yeah, right on the forehead. Right?
Probably could be done.
Leave him with a round ball mark.
Yeah.
So some song that sounds like King Missile about God being a spider. We'll see if people can come through with it. I'd call it a poem. Okay, a poem.
With music.
Okay.
Which some people call songs.
Yes.
But it's totally spoken.
All right.
That's done. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hopefully somebody can help me with that.
What else we got?
Okay, well, putting them things on your list, I'm going to scratch off because we don't really need that anymore. Except for maybe the worst fictional character was Mr. Whipple.
Mr. Whipple.
Such a hypocrite.
The guy who sold Charmin.
Yes. And told people, or well, I guess he asked, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Don't squeeze the Charmin. But this guy... It was getting his jollies squeezing the Charmin.
Every time. The hypocrisy of it was so deep.
And this is what I'll say.
Yes?
If that guy's out on the grocery store floor squeezing the Charmin, right?
Oh.
God knows what's going on in that break room. Can you imagine what Mr. Whipple was doing in that break room?
I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, I don't either. Could you imagine?
I really have to go there.
Mr. Whipple?
Yeah.
Hey, isn't this grocery store that Mr. Whipple? Oh, yeah. We don't talk about that anymore. Yeah, we don't talk about Mr. Whipple anymore.
Yeah, just leave him alone when he's in the break room.
Yeah. Hey, we advise everyone to not go alone into the break room if Mr. Whipple is on, if he's working. Yeah, he'd be,
always go with a friend.
Yeah, no, Mr. Whipple would be in jail.
Good. Well, but the list is gone now, so.
So what else you got?
Okay, that Kevin Smith is starting a Frasier podcast, which I thought was a dream when I first read it.
No, that's called a nightmare, not a dream.
Oh, well, I mean, I was...
Bad dreams are called nightmares, Fred.
Okay, then a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it involves scrambled eggs, which I thought was quite funny.
because of the song, Hey Baby, I Hear the Blues Are Calling, Tossed Salad and Scrambled Eggs, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, that explains it.
The theme to Frasier.
I thought it had something to do with you being on the Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood, what are you, a Hollywood Handbook fan now?
No, only when you're on.
Only when I'm on. So you don't like it when I'm not on.
I only listen to part of one of the show.
I love it. You didn't dig it.
Yeah,
you didn't dig it,
not when you weren't there.
Oh, Fredericks, that warms my heart.
All right.
That warms my heart.
Okay, now we get that out of the way. Now I'm here for the real reason.
Well, let me just tell you, Fredericks, I'm looking. Best show, we used to make lists left and right. You know what I mean? Best show. Oh, I love this. I tell you, the only list that this show would be on now is the top shows, the top podcasts not on lists. If there was a list of the most unlisted podcasts, that's the only list we'd make these days.
Wow.
If I look over it on Vulture, Vulture, I tell you, they don't like the best for whatever it is, man. They're not
really
into the best show.
Vulture?
Not into it. They never put us on anything. AV Club, you think?
Yeah, they used to be friends, didn't they?
They don't like us anymore. I don't know what we did. Well, you know what? A pox on them. I say it. A pox on you, AV Club. All 80 of you reviewing every episode of the Twilight Zone episodes in alphabetical order. A pox on your whole clan.
You're burning some bridges there.
On your whole reviewing clan. Why don't you review this? Review the pox I put on you. What are you going to give that, a C+? The pox I put on your clan?
I like it.
We don't need it. They don't want us. We don't want them. A pox.
Fine.
Yeah. A pox.
Fine. I only read about the best show on there anyway.
I appreciate it, Frederick. Did they ever write about Frederick's mind thing? No.
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 Who did? No, somebody
the
used
FBI.
Whiskey and cigarettes.
The FBI is the only place that you get written about, right?
Yeah, where?
The FBI.
I was going to say police.
The only people who do they do reviews of your podcast, those are called, they're monitoring you. They're looking for signals, right? We think this Fredericks is ready to make a move. We think he's going to finally drop a suitcase full of acid into the Newport Richie water supply. We got him. Here he goes. He's on his move. What's in that suitcase?
My little John boat.
So what is the thing you called for?
Well, it's Bugs Bunny related.
Yes.
Daffy Duck specifically.
Uh-huh, yes. Okay.
And it involves ontology.
What is ontology?
That is the study, the study of being and existence. And it's about a particular episode called Duck Amuck.
And which one's that? The one where they draw each?
Yes.
They draw and it spills out into the artist's page.
And then they start erasing Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
And then I
know what that feels like.
Bugs is the cartoonist.
I don't know what that feels like, Fredericks.
Especially by those AV Club jerks.
I'm
going
to punch out. I'm going to be getting erased by Marah Eakin or whoever up there writes those things.
I don't know.
He'll be erasing me.
Oh. You lost me completely. I don't know who Marah Jenkins is.
Marah Jenkins. So, Fredericks.
Yes?
You like that episode? Does that episode freak you out a little bit?
Well, it's just that even when they changed everything, Daffy still existed,
mm-hmm.
even when he was being erased,
mm-hmm.
and that Bugs existed even when he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that, I think that might be a great one, and, mm-hmm. and the kind of thing that can really, it's like you said, you run up against that wall of the truth, you know?
It gets you, man. It gets you. The truth. Can't outrun the truth.
No, it's laying around all over the place. It's just trying to separate it from everything else.
That's why tonight I'm going to talk about the opposite of the truth, lies.
Oh, you reminded me of something else.
Okay.
Did you read about the squirrel that got drunk?
The squirrel that got drunk?
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah, supposedly a squirrel. I don't know whether he broke in or got locked in or whatever, but he hit the beer tap, mm-hmm. apparently was indulging in the beer, mm-hmm. went crazy, tore up the place, did like $466 worth of damage, which doesn't sound like a lot of damage, but if you consider a squirrel did it, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, besides chewing through electrical wires, yeah. they're not really good at messing things up.
Yeah.
$466. Guy comes in the next day. I guess the squirrel was dead drunk. He took him and threw him out the window.
And the squirrel was still alive. He was just bombed.
We don't know. We don't know. I assume he had a terrible morning.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
A little squirrel hangover. Speaking of squirrels, Gary the Squirrel is going to be on tonight's show. He's going to debut his new show.
Oh!
Which is going to be very exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with.
He's got his own show coming up, huh?
Yeah, he's very excited about it. He's been working on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the show within a show, or is this just
we'll
his...
We're going to find out.
It's going to be like Maud was. You know, it's going to be an offshoot of the
show. No, it'll be within this show. It's not going to be like Maud.
Sorry.
A spinoff?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, it's not a spinoff.
Okay.
Fredericks.
You got to stay close to him.
We do, yes.
Keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
I understand.
All right, Mike is telling me to hang up on you, which
yeah,
I'm disagreeing with.
I understand.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I'm offended by this, but Mike gets six a show where he gets to override. Somebody is saying the King Missile song is called Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, like a psalm in church.
All right.
Okay.
Very good. So you took care of that even before it got off the phone.
There you go. You're covered.
Oh, one animal. Flipper. What happened to Flipper?
Goodbye. Okay. You're off on your own. This Fredericks is off on his own cloud. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
It's, we talked about this.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Earlier.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
This is a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be identified tonight.
Yeah, I think it's best for me to not, you know, kind of be public or, you know, not to be out in the open about some of this stuff.
Okay.
I just think it's a smarter move.
Sure, sure.
If that's cool with, you know.
Without a doubt.
I don't, yeah. But, I mean, you can verify, and I mean, you know who I am, and you can, I think your audience will trust you that you're not putting on a fraud or anything.
No. You're calling, so the thing you're calling about, I can verify. It's just a matter of you're choosing to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Tonight.
And, you know, I want to talk about a few things, and I don't want to bring up a lot of people's names, and I want to bring, you know, kind of run people through the mud or anything like that. But I just wanted to talk a little bit, because last week I was listening to your show, and you were kind of, you know, goofing on the Muppets.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's fine, and you can joke about whatever you want, of mm-hmm. course. But
yeah.
I have been, you know, writing and consulting on that show for about a year now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not calling in to defend it or, you know, make specific arguments against what your jokes were about last mm-hmm. week.
Okay.
I wanted to let you know. Sorry, go ahead.
You've been working on it.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
Woo! It's showtime!
Mm-hmm.
I know you are, again, I'm not going to say who you are, but you are in the entertainment business.
I'm a comedy personality,
sure,
I guess
yes.
you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brought on, like I said, about a year ago, a little earlier, I guess it's almost 2 years now since we started talking about it. But I was brought in because originally, I don't know how much you know about the sort of genesis of this project, but it was originally it was meant to be for HBO. And the edict was that it was going to be very raunchy, like a lot of F's and S's and, you know, like really kind of edgy, really edgy. Like it's, you know, they're going for edge now, but the kind of edge that was presented to me when I came in and got involved with the project, it was like times 100. It was just going to be like really crazy. So they brought me in because I have a background in very absurd, surrealist style humor, like very left of center, very
sure.
Strange,
yeah, yeah. Like you know. It's just the kind of a lot of odd stuff. Some people call it anti-comedy. Or
yeah, I don't sign off on that. You know, I don't consider.
Well, I'm
it
just
that,
saying people call it that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know, I said your name. I'm so sorry. I said your name.
Sorry.
Never mind. Nobody heard it.
Okay. You know, stuff for Adult Swim. That, you know. Anyways, they brought me in to kind of help veer the show in that direction, like just add a little flavor, like a little sort of weirdness to it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, me and a lot of really smart, like really smart guys, everybody that listens to the show would know, really talented, funny people that are like the guys that we all love are also working on, you know, sitting in this room, working on this show, trying to make it great, trying to make it funny. And, you know, I'm just calling to say that we kind of acknowledge on a daily basis that it's not happening, you know, that it's not working.
So the show's not working. The Muppets, you mean this show, The Muppets?
The show, The Muppets, that you were talking about last week with Kermit and the pig and
yeah.
Fonzie, you know, the ABC show, The Muppets.
Sure, that it's not. So you as what are you, a writer or a consultant?
I'm a writer, producer, consultant. It's okay. Sort of like I can kind of come and go as I please.
Sure.
And sort of read scripts and throw my two cents in.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not on me to do to make it great. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not running the show, you know.
Mm-hmm. No. But you can hear and see that it's just not adding up. What is the attitude like?
The attitude is, it's very glum. It's depressing. It's
really
a lot of sort of people not looking at each other in the eye. Mm-hmm. You know, that feeling when everyone knows the ship is sinking.
Sure.
And everyone kind of just goes in because they have to, because mm-hmm. they're under contract and they're getting paid. Mm-hmm. And let me also say that the reason everyone is there is everyone's getting paid a bunch of, you know, like a lot. It's like that sort of you can't say no money. So you do it, and everybody there, I can tell you, from the top guy down, from everybody involved with the show has the attitude of, I just want to get paid and get the F out of here.
Really?
Yeah. The puppet masters and the voice guys. You know, all the way down the line, it's just a really bad environment for creativity, and it's a bad environment for everybody involved.
Like a cash grab. Like everybody's just there, and they're like just there to take the money, but they don't even care about this thing. Did they not care about it because it's not the dirty show they wanted it to be?
I think there's a little bit of that. Some of the early guys, including myself, when we came on board, were like, you know, this could be insane. This could be like revolutionary. It could be, you know, but honestly, I don't really have an affection for the Muppets. You know, I don't like think that they're this great thing that needs to be respected or revered. Mm-hmm. I never thought they were that entertaining mm-hmm. or anything, but they offered me like a dump truck of money to mm-hmm. come on and pitch, you know, like if we like the Old Spice things we did, you know, or like, I mean, it's like commercials we would have done,
uh-huh.
not we just, things that I might have been involved with, like just mm-hmm. turn things on its head a little bit.
Sure.
And so I would pitch things. I pitch them all day long, and everything gets sort of, you know, okay, we'll look into that. It gets put up on the board, and then it never goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been just a bummer. You know, I mean, it's not. I think that what happened is, you know, once you started seeing
once pre-production started and scripts were getting signed off on by the network, you know, Iger started just to see it as like, let's see how quickly we can burn through this and get out of this, you know. But there's a commitment, of course, to air a certain number of them.
Sure.
But, you know, I think next time this year we'll be talking about it, it'll be just a distant memory. It won't be a thing that I don't even know if it'll be considered part of the official, you know, Muppets canon or whatever. It's just kind of like a blip.
Now, Tim, when you decided to do this, did you I said your name again. I'm so sorry.
Do you have a dump button or anything?
I think we caught it.
Okay.
So it's just you're working on it and you're pitching stuff and it's just not going well and people are starting to just sometimes on shows like this there's like a mutiny at some point. Does it feel like it could go that south that people could actually start to quit or
well, we've had a lot of people that have gotten as soon as the ability for them to get out, you know, happened, they got out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people getting out, and you know, I feel like I know people are going to be listening to this that work on the show. You know, they'll probably put two and two together and figure out it's me. I'm probably going to get called into Henson's office, and you know, get my ass kicked out under the sidewalk for doing this. But I just felt like I'm tired of being quiet about this, and and your observations last week were spot on. It's just an embarrassment. You know, if you were a fan of the Muppets, it must be just really painful to see what's happening with them.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them. And I feel bad that I've been a part of it. And I feel like if there's
Like a super
I can
fan,
do to make it better.
Is there anything you would say to like a super fan who just is kind of, because some of these people have dedicated their lives to this show.
Oh yeah,
and these characters.
So much. I mean, so much hate mail is coming in. If you look at the feed, you know, the websites and blogs and stuff and message boards, people are really upset and they're really angry, and they're angry at us. And I wish I could say it wasn't my fault, but you know, I'm part of that team that produced that show. And listen, if it was my way, we would have gone a different direction. But they brought in these Modern Family guys, and they brought in some people with the with Office background, and they just were, you know, like we have a model, we have a system to make shows.
Yeah.
We have beats and rhythms and structure that works that we're just going to plop on top of this property that Disney owned. And you know, it's a cash. Like I said, it's a cash grab. I mean, Disney's looking at it like we own this property. Let's put it to work. But, you know, I think it's going to end up looking like a big mistake. And, I mean, it already has. And so if there are Muppet heads out there listening to your show, I can't imagine you have a huge Muppet head audience.
We have a fair amount of Muppet fans listen to this, and they were not happy with me. I was playfully teasing the thing, but you're actually saying that this is how it is on the show, that it's seriously bad. I guess maybe I felt it was in the DNA of the show, that you could feel that it was – something was off and you're there and it's,
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, like we're, you know, me, you know, these guys, other guys that I've mentioned, I'm not going to say their names, but you know, we like to goof on stuff too. And I'll be honest with you. We get around when we see the final cut of these episodes, we sit around and hate watch them like we're watching The Room or something. Like we're really, we consider them just awful, awful, products
for your own show. Wow. And you're somebody who's kept the quality level high on what you've done throughout your career. So to work on something where you're not proud of it must be a different kind of place for you to be.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, everyone goes through that period where they just do the job because the money's there. Don't have an emotional connection to the work. I'm there to provide my 2 cents and get in and get out. But it's been a really tough year, and it's been you know, I hope people don't put it together to figure out who I am, because it might ruin the way they think about me. But I'm willing to just, because I just wanted to make you feel like your observations were astute.
Okay, well, I appreciate
that. You shouldn't feel
that.
Like a fool.
Okay.
You know, you shouldn't feel like a fool.
All right, because I've caught a lot of grief from fans, and I'm glad that you're working on it, and you're saying that I'm not off target. So
yeah, and I was thinking about it, like, there's so many things that come out that are obviously not what the person that made it intended it to be. It didn't work out. Not everything's going to be a success. But everyone comes out and sort of just puts on their best, their brave face and says, hey, we're really happy with it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just tired of hearing that. And
sure.
From coming from somebody from the inside,
yeah.
I just want to mea culpa, uh-huh. Say, you know, we're sorry. Everybody feels bad about it. And, hopefully we'll just figure out something else. But I think it's time we stop opening up these old files of properties that had their time in the past and move and just start creating new characters, new ideas. We don't have to keep turning to Kermit the Frog every 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Know? No, I hear you.
I hope everyone understands where I'm coming from. And I don't mean any ill will to Bob Iger. The Henson family, the folks at Modern Family, everybody involved. I mean, no ill will.
Okay.
But, I think just saying it needed to be said. So
okay.
That's
well,
my 2 cents.
So, okay. Well, I'm going to keep you anonymous, and I thank you for the look behind the curtain on this.
All right, Tom.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
All right.
Okay,
take care. And
okay.
Sorry, I just show that a friend of mine working on called Decker starts on Monday. Decker season 3 starts on Monday.
Okay, so Decker, and where
on
can people...
Adult Swim, on the YouTube Adult Swim website.
Sure, Decker, and it's tied into On Cinema.
Right, which is currently airing with... they have a new episode coming out tomorrow, apparently.
Yeah. So they do, okay.
I've been a big fan of those guys and wish them all the best. And wish you all the best and all the best show listeners.
Thanks a lot
for letting me call in and talk to you guys.
Well, I appreciate it. You have a good night.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, bye. That was exciting. A secret guest plugged Decker down the home stretch. I was a little surprised by that, but he got a plug for a show that a couple friends of his, I guess, are doing. But, well, my friends... Let me tell you about a few things. I want to tell you about my friends over at internet.bs. We put a call out saying we're looking for advertisers, lean and mean, fans of the show. Trying to reach out to the people in the Best Show community. And, well, the folks over at internet.bs stepped up and supported the Best Show. Small company, about 10 people working there, lean and mean, running a tight ship. And what is internet.bs? Well, it's simple. I'll tell you. They are what you call a registrar. Is that what you call them? A registrar. And they help you secure domain names. And they do it cheap and they do it well. Internet.bs, you go over there, it's simple, low on the upsell. They don't make you click through a bunch of products you don't want just to get the domain name that you do want. They're constantly and consistently the best priced registrar in the market. They offer a large range of domain name choices. They also give customers free private whois, free web forwarding, free email forwarding, free DNS management. Internet.bs is the domain registrar of choice for subject matter experts all over the world. That's web designers, developers, SEO gurus, amongst others. They use the word boffins in this. I'm not going to say boffins. Sure, I'll say. All the boffins use internet.bs because it's the lowest cost and easiest registrar universe. Easy to use customer portal gives you total control of the management of your domains. If you want to buy a domain name, you go to internet.bs and you just get it. It's that simple. And they're running a promotion right now on U.S. domain names. Right now, U.S. domains. Did you know that .us is the domain name for the United States of America? And that is the online destination for everybody who believes in the greatness of America, as I do. I know it's not a cool opinion, especially around these parts with rabble rousers like Dudio and AP Mike saying it, all this bad stuff about the USA. But I will have none of it. So here's what you do, my friends. You need some domain names? You go over to internet.bs/MikeRulesTom again with this special code. MikeRulesTom. internet.bs/MikeRulesTom right now and celebrate the greatness of American ingenuity with a .us domain name for just $5. internet.bs/MikeRulesTom. Get your domain name locked down now. My friends, if you have money in the stock market, you probably broke even this year, maybe even lost a little bit of money. But if your dollars were in real estate in San Francisco, New York, Seattle, Chicago, or almost any other major city, you probably made a nice little return. Diversification is the name of the game when it comes to investing. So if you're looking to diversify your portfolio with real estate, look no further than Realty Shares. Realty Shares is a private real estate investment club that allows you to invest as little as $1,000 in homes and commercial real estate deals across the United States. Realty Shares has offered real estate investment opportunities in over 100 major metro areas. Thousands of investors have earned returns as high as 20% this year on the Realty Shares platform. It's very easy to become one of them. Plus, when you sign up and you make an investment, you can refer friends for $150 each. So I tell you right now, you go to realtyshares.com/bestshow to create a free account and get started. Learn real estate investment tips on their blog or simply browse investment opportunities over at realtyshares.com/bestshow. realtyshares.com/bestshow. Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test each week at this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there are no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week. You're not stuck with the same players. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. That could mean you could turn your love of football into a payday of a lifetime. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Believe me, you have never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use promo code BEST and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest where first place takes home $100,000. Enter BEST for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Enter in promo code BEST. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jules in D.C.
Who is this now?
Oh, hold on. Is that better, Jules?
Oh, that is like talking to someone from heaven.
Awesome.
How are you?
So I've got something. I'm really good. I've got something for the topic.
What do you got?
So this happened when I was about 4. It was after dinner. And my mom said, oh, you were good today. You ate your dinner. You can have ice cream, which was something that didn't happen every day. So I was excited. So she goes to the freezer to get it. She brings it down and then she opens it and she looks at it and she goes, oh no, it's gone bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's gone bad. I said, okay. And then she proceeded to eat it.
Yeah.
And the whole time, she was going, oh, thank God, I'm eating this. Like, it's disgusting. Like, you would, it would make you sick. I'm so, you know, you're so lucky that I'm eating this for you.
You're so lucky I'm eating this for you.
Because this is bad.
Yeah.
So I took it at face value, but the memory never left my head. It would pop into my head all the time.
Yeah, you got lied to.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got lied to.
Yeah.
I think I was like 12 when I put it together.
Yeah. You realized.
I realized that my mom probably wouldn't have sat there eating rancid ice cream.
No, she would have thrown it in the trash, not eaten the entire thing in front of you. Did she go like, this is disgusting. If only you knew what I was doing for you right now.
That's what it was like. That's what it was like. She really sold it.
And how old are you at this point?
4 or 5, really young.
Yeah, so you realize the whole thing blew up, right? The whole thing blew up. You realized. It's all a sham.
It's a sham.
Right?
I called her on it, and she did not own up. Like, as an adult, I was like, you know what? That time that you ate the ice cream and you pretended it was spoiled, you know, I remember that. And she was like, no, that never happened. I was like, no, that definitely happened.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good person. I think that she probably just didn't think there was enough to share. And was just like, well, I'm not sharing it. Like,
she couldn't give you one spoonful? She couldn't give you one spoonful? What flavor?
I probably would have whined, though.
What flavor?
Coffee.
You would have whined? I want more ice cream.
For sure. It was coffee flavor. It was my favorite. That's why I remember it.
Wait, you were 4 and your favorite flavor was coffee?
Is that weird?
That's a little weird. That's the kind of ice cream that adults buy when they just want kids to not want their ice cream. It's the only safe haven for adults.
Coffee, maybe that's what she tried first.
Yeah.
And that didn't work.
Yeah. Suddenly,
it was spoiled.
Her kids got a taste for it, right? Suddenly, her kids got a taste for coffee ice cream. What do I do? Well, I better say this stuff's rancid.
What she did. I never even thought that the first trick was actually the coffee.
Yeah. I like that story.
I do.
I like that story.
Thank you.
How's your mom now? Is your mom still with us?
She's still with us and does not lie about food anymore, to my knowledge.
You know what you got to do?
I'm falling for it.
You got to pay her back, right?
Okay.
You got to bring some ice cream over and eat it right in front of her. Go, oh, this is spoiled. I don't want to give you the ice cream, Mom. I got some coffee ice cream, but this went bad. Why don't you do that?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. The next time I see her, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to sit there and systematically eat it.
I love it.
All right.
It'll be fun, though. Thanks. It's a fun. You're teasing your mom in a fun way.
It'll be fun for the first, 30 seconds of it, but I think if I don't end up sharing it, it'll get weird toward the end.
You make it weird. You drive it to weird town, right? You take it all the way to where she's like, are you seriously going to eat that ice cream in front of me? You go.
And then
you go, but it's spoiled.
You're so lucky.
I'm trying not to barf right now, Mom. The ice cream.
Thank goodness I'm eating it.
Yeah, it's rancid. Thank goodness I'm eating it. Why didn't you say thank you, right? Why aren't you thanking me, Mom?
Okay, great Thanksgiving. I'm really excited. This is excellent advice.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great top. Thank you so much. Great call.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
Lying. I was lied to. That's the topic. What are the times you've been lied to? What are the times you've lied? Think about it, right? Think about lying, the power of lying. Can you remember the first time you were lied to? Can you? That might have been her first time she was lied to. That she remembers. Can you remember the first time you lied? I can. I remember it. I was a pretty honest kid. On the whole. I was not a fibber. I was not a fantabulist. I was a straight shooter. It's like the Walter Cronkite of kids. But it's weird when you understand what lying is. It's strange because it's so big and powerful. Lying is so all in. It's like reality changing. Right? alters everything. Perspective gets changed. Like, the world is, like, different when you understand the concept of lying. And you know what's actually a good movie about that is a movie called The Invention of Lying, which Ricky Gervais made. It actually kind of takes on the whole concept of lying in a pretty interesting and really funny way. It really takes... See, I'm lying right now. I'm lying. That was a lie. That movie sucked. It's a bad movie. But that was me lying. Lying! You know what the first lie I remember happened to me was? This kid in school said to me, "Hey, at the store that was like a Kmart type store," he's like, "Yeah, they got the new Star Wars action figures." And I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." So I get my parents to take me there. And then I go to look for them. And then, like, they're not there. And then, like, I go to school the next day. I'm like, "Yeah, I went and they didn't have them." And it was before one of the new movies. I think it was probably before Return of the... Either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. This is the first time I remember the concept of lying. And I didn't know he was lying at that point. So he's like, "No, they have them. So then we went back looking for them. They're not there. Got the store's like, "Yeah, we don't have them." Yeah, lying. Went back again. No, went back to school. I would have gone back to school. "Yeah, they don't have them. They said they didn't even... The guy running the store said they don't have them." Then my parents are like, "Is this kid lying? Like, I think this kid's making this up about these action figures." And if I remember correctly, I think the kid even was, like, making up the names of character. Like, I remember he was describing them. He was describing the figures. I don't know if he said new character names, or I can't remember if he did or didn't, but he was lying, this kid. Then I remember being on the other side of it. I remember the first time I was a part of a lie. It was also at school. These other kids were tricking this one kid. And they were telling him, so along the same lines as this one, the story I just said about going to the store. They said, "Hey, did you play that game at the bowling alley, the new video game?" And they're describing this video game at the bowling alley called Quick Jump It's a Snake is the name they made up, which is pretty brilliant for, like, kids in, like, sixth grade or whatever, seventh grade. They're like, "Yeah, it's called Quick Jump It's a Snake. It's at the bowling alley. It's so fun." And then the kid would go and, like, look for it. He'd be like, "Yeah, I didn't see it." They're like, "Well, did you check back in the back?" "No, I didn't. I checked where all the other games are." "Oh, no, they got it off to the side." Like, and I was looped in on this, so I started adding on to the embellishment with it. Like, "Yeah, I got to level 3 on it, you know, and snake jumps over rocks," or whatever thing it was. "Quick jump, it's a snake." Yeah. So I'm in on that thing that... I'm in on the lie now. I'm lying to this kid. Just making stuff up. This sucker's going to the arcade. to the bowling alley looking for the machine. Finally, he realized, yeah, you guys are lying. I will say this, though. That kid was terrible. Not a good dude. In, like, middle school, it was like war. It was like a battle of terrible people. Just doing whatever it could to be slightly higher on the ladder than the kid next to you. Everybody was terrible. I was terrible. Everybody was terrible. But hopefully you catch it and you grow out of it and you realize. Because that's actually, look, did that shape some of what I think is funny? Yeah, absolutely. But do I actually go around acting like a sociopath? No. At some point, hopefully you find a moral compass and a sense of, you develop a conscience. You're like, yeah, I can't just act like this all the time. That's how you turn into a shock jock. Like shock jocks are like that. Like a New York stand-up. You know, the classic New York stand-up. And look, I love a lot of New York stand-ups. I think they're so super funny people. But there's that thing, it's like that special breed of New York stand-up where they're like, hey, we're terrible. We're New York stand-ups. We do the worst stuff you could do. That's what being a New York stand-up does to you. Just makes you a bad person. It's like, yeah, or not. Or you could not do those things. Hey, go on the road, act like an animal. Do the worst stuff. I'm a New York stand-up. What else am I supposed to do? Well, you could try not doing the things that you know are terrible and do non-terrible things. Lying. That's what we're going to talk about, lying tonight. What are the things that made you that you've lied or you've been lied to? 201-332-3484. And on Twitter, hashtag is I was lied to. Another time I remember. Oh, my poor mother. I remember some kid. We were going to go to the movies, and I forget what movie it was, but then I think how it went down is that either I did or my sister misdialed, like calling the movie theater to find out how much it cost. And then it's like, yeah, is this the movie theater? Like, this is like a kid. You're like 7 or 8, whatever. Is this the movie theater? Oh, yeah, it is. Some kid. Yeah. Yeah, sure. How much is the movie? And this kid on the other end says, it's free. So then my mother, salt of the earth mom, gets like the neighborhood, like a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, like, yeah, the movie's free. Get to the theater. It ain't free. Some rat kid picked the phone up and was just like, yeah, it's free. Then he got my mother digging quarters out of her purse to pay to get everybody in the movie theater. And we're not fancy. We did not come from fancy stock. We didn't come from AP Mike with the money. If you don't want AP Mike up in the video, telling you right now, if you want to do a thing, you don't want AP Mike all up in your video, dancing around. Yeah, heartbreaking. I think back at that, heartbreaking. My poor mom. Yeah, you come to best show. You don't want AP Michael up in the video dancing. Do you know what that is, Mike? That's when Suge Knight showed up at the Source Awards when he, like, went up on stage and was just telling people to come to Death Row Records. Which is, it ties into an announcement. I'm pretty excited to tell everybody. The Best Show and Death Row Records are now, we've signed a 10-year deal. Suge Knight is going to be giving notes. He's listening right now. So, Suge, I hope you're enjoying the show. You know what I'm still trying to get is this, we don't get it, the Papa John's person. One person has written saying that they've, because I want to talk to somebody who's worked on a Papa John's commercial, who's watched Papa John Schnatter, act in one of these commercials. I want to just talk to them anonymously, of course. One person has contacted us, but I think they only give a phone number. If you're that person, just call up. Call up. 201-332-3484. I think, do we have a phone number, Dudio?
Do we have a number? No,
do we have a number for the... Remember that Papa John person wrote?
Yeah, I do have that person.
I would love to talk to that person. I don't want to keep texting them, though. You know what I mean? Like... I'm giving some weird Papa John, some gaffer in a Papa John commercial's got my cell phone number. You know what I mean?
He will do an interview, but we have to change his voice.
We have to change. How are we going to change his voice?
We're going to have to do it offline and then play it.
Oh, okay. So we have to record it.
Yeah.
So I got to do a pre-record with a.
But this is how deep he is in the organization.
All right. Maybe we'll set this. We got a guy who's a mole in the Papa John commercial. Thing who's gonna spill the beans on what it's like to be on the set of one of those Papa John commercials. So I gotta record it off air. Oh, unbelievable! I tell you, I don't do pre-tapes with anybody. But I'm gonna be here on a Sunday taping a Papa John interview. So what did Papa John do when he? So do you eat Papa John's pizza on the sets of the thing? What? That can't just disguise his own voice?
Yeah, it's me, Papa. I was in the Papa John commercial. Yeah, I just, yeah, Papa John's not a good guy.
Fine, let's set it up. Let's make the Papa John lid blower happen. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Peter from Providence.
Peter from Providence. Where are you? What's going on? You're in Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes, Providence, Rhode Island.
It's Farrelly country, right?
What country?
Farrelly country.
I'm not sure what that means.
Farrelly Brothers. The Farrelly Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They did have the Dumb and Dumber 2 premiere at the local like art house movie theater, but I missed it somehow.
The art house movie theater. It's great. What's going on tonight, Chief?
Well, I had a story. I met Lloyd Kaufman from Troma at a film festival.
You met Lloyd Kaufman at a film festival?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be... It's funny you say that, because I'm heading towards Lloyd Kaufman territory with this Best Show thing I'm doing here. I'm heading towards Lloyd Kaufman, where I'm just going to be like... Like, that dude is... He's in... Oh, there he is in... Guardians of the Galaxy. There he is. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a cameo in this, a cameo in that. But everybody else, but he gave everybody their shot, and then they're going to the bank with sack loads of money. Yeah, well, I'm going to be the Lloyd Kaufman of podcasting. Trauma cast. I'll end up running the board on the Troma cast. Got a Lloyd Kaufman. We got a, who's on the line? Sergeant Kabuki Man? Can we patch him through? I believe we have, from Tromeo and Juliet. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
What's up? Well, Lloyd Kaufman was sort of gathered around. I was there with a bunch of other, like, film students, and he was, like, shaking everybody's hand, and he got to me, and I was thinking of something to say, so I told him that I got the book that he wrote for my birthday, and he immediately said, oh, did you read it? And, I, of course, I had not read it, and but I just paused, and I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And then he just immediately frowned and just turned away from me.
Because he spotted and then, you lied. You lied right to his face.
But my friend who had been working for Lloyd Kaufman then whispered in my ear, he goes, Lloyd hates liars.
Lloyd hates liars. I love it. Lloyd hates liars. And he saw you as a liar. You couldn't, you had to lie to his face. How'd you feel? You felt like scum, right?
I haven't been able to watch a trauma movie since.
Yeah. Well, my friend, you wear that shame the rest of your life. Write him on Twitter. Is he on Twitter? Say, Lloyd, I'm sorry I lied to you. Face to face. Please forgive me. Thanks, bro. What's Billy Crystal doing right now? Did the Astros win? Have the Astros won yet? 2-0. So Billy Crystal right now is probably it's probably on the cell phone talking to Joe Torre. See, Joe, this is why I wish you were still managing the Yankees. You were the greatest manager. Joe Torre. What a bum that guy was. What a fraud. That's like this guy had the worst record in baseball, right? He was like a bum. The guy couldn't win. The Yankees one year won like what 110 games, and that like finally got this guy to 500. Finally got his record to like five. He had this team like winning, like setting records to get his lowly record all the way up to 500. What a fraud! But he's like the king of New York. That bum, and he wrote a book like badmouthing all the Yankees. Oh, it's Joe Torre, though. He's a class act. Is he? Really? Really? He writes a book throwing his players under the bus? That's a class act? Not in my class. Not my idea of class. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Brian from, Sunnyside, Queens.
Brian in Queens. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, sorry, long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I think I introduced myself twice.
Welcome to the show, my friend. Welcome to the best show.
I had one for the topic.
What do you got?
So this was me lying recently. My friend is really into Neil Young. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's just asked me, oh, are you into Neil Young? I was like, oh, yeah, he's all right. I always said I liked Neil Young things, but he ended up buying me a ticket to this Neil Young cover concert for my birthday.
Okay.
And I just went along to it. I didn't know any of the songs, and we were right in front. I could see the teleprompter, and I was kind of just reading the lyrics to all the Neil Young songs, and I think he, saw me doing that and felt kind of crummy about it.
Like you watching you pretend crummy. You knew the songs?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Finally, they're doing Four of the Turnstiles.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. I was wondering when they were going to play Winter Long.
Yeah.
First of all, the headline here is, well, you don't like Neil Young or you just don't care?
No, I like him, but I only listened to the Transformer Man, 80s synth album thing, and I thought that was great. But
Transformer Man? That's a William Shatner album. What's Transformer Man?
Oh, just Transformer?
That's a Lou Reed album. You're going from a William Shatner album to a Lou Reed album. You might mean Trans.
Yeah, Trans. That's the one.
Yeah. Well, look, you're going to go to something like that. They're going to play songs you don't know.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, my friend. You're exposed. Have a great night. Best show, you're on the air. Hello?
Oh, hello, Tom?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Jacob.
Jacob,
I'm sorry, I had my volume turned down.
That's all right. Where are you calling from, Jacob?
Oh, you'd like to know that, wouldn't you, Tom?
Not really. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jesse in Las Vegas.
Jesse in Las Vegas. What's up, high roller?
Not much, just watching the Astros-Yankees game.
And who's in the lead right now?
It's 3-0 Astros now.
So what inning?
Top of the seventh.
Top of the seventh. The Yankees, are they gonna lose, right?
I'm hoping so.
And then Billy Crystal is going to do what? What's Billy Crystal going to do?
He's going to cry into his flat cap.
His flat, yeah. I hope they spread a whole thing that he's losing because that the Yankees are losing because he didn't wear a real Yankees cap. He wore a hat like he was working for the paperboy convention, right?
Yeah.
Who wears a hat like that to a baseball game?
I think he's trying to not look like he's too much on the Yankees bandwagon because he's supposed to be a bigger Mets fan.
No, but he's not, though. He's a huge Yankee. He wore that Met thing just for city slickers. He's not a Mets fan.
He's hedging his
bets. He's
a
Yankee. No, he's a Yankees fan. But he'll probably be wearing a Mets hat when they're in the playoffs. He'll be showing up at City Life Stadium. What's it called? City Field. And look, that's a funny thing about baseball. Go all year, and then, like, in 2 days, it's over. Well, that was fun. We sure tried to do something with that, but it didn't happen. Basketball, they draw it out, best of seven. You play two, and then you play a game, then you take a day, then you play another one, then you take a day, go to the next city. You're back and forth. It builds. It's like a vice tightening and tightening.
Mm-hmm.
Not like baseball. Well, the guy was hot. Pitcher was hot. Right?
I agree with you.
We lost. The pitcher was hot. Like hockey. We got a hot goalie. Comes down to one guy, hot goalie. Suddenly the whole thing's over because one team's got a hot goalie. I don't get it, man. So what do you got for me, Chief?
I got one for the topic.
What is it, bro?
Well, it was a revenge lie. I have told a lot of lies over the years that were just self-aggrandizing, but this one is we lied to a guy who was sort of a habitual liar.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of kid thing of, oh, like this video game that isn't actually out for two more years, I've got it because my uncle works at Nintendo or whatever.
And what was the name of the game?
Oh, Mortal Kombat 2. He claimed he had it like 2 years before it was even out.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you something? You know when you see that game Street Fighter, right?
Yeah.
You know that game Street Fighter?
Huh?
You ever notice? Are they fighting in the street in any of those fights? One's on like an Air Force base. One is like a
right.
One's in like a temple. One's in like a uh-huh. right. One is like in a palace, right? They're all like,
yeah. There's one that's in the jungle.
Yeah, the jungle Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Would you guys mind fighting one of your fights in the street, please? Air Force Base. Hey, we're doing a Street Fighter. Oh, where's this one fight going to take place? Oh, of course, an Air Force Base. Well, the guy in the red robe, Ken. Was that his name, Ken?
Yeah.
Well, they were asleep at the wheel on that one. They were running. They were hurrying that one along. Let's just call him Ken and set it at an Air Force Base. So you lied about Mortal Kombat 2. And how long did that lie go on?
No, he lied about Mortal Kombat 2. What we did to get back at him was he moved. I grew up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he moved to Nebraska from a suburb of Dallas.
Yeah.
So he would basically believe anything we would tell him about Nebraska because he thought it was, you know, country and beneath him and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we convinced him that Children of the Corn was a true story and that it happened in our town.
Well, he just sounds stupid.
He was very gullible.
Yeah. Good for look. You got him back, right?
Yeah.
You got him back. I love it. And at what point did he realize you guys were making all that stuff up? Did he ever realize it?
I don't know if he ever realized that we told him about there's a lake that is like the biggest man-made lake in the world that is near our small little Nebraska town, and there are actually like buildings and stuff underneath it because they flooded the valley mm-hmm. when they made it. So we convinced him that that was the old town of Ogallala and that they had to flood the valley because of all the cultists.
Sure.
And so we took it and at first he didn't believe it. So we took him to the library and we showed him, news like microfiche of the pictures of the underwater town. And that was like all it took to convince him. And then we started taking it. We were in high school, so we got high a lot. And we would get high with him and then take him out to the lake and drive, because there's a lot of cornfields out by the lake, yeah. and drive around the cornfields mm-hmm. and just start mm-hmm. telling stories about how the old town was and how mm-hmm. we heard that there are still like some of the cultists survived and they live out. In there. The cornfields. Yeah.
Now, how did you get to the lake? Did you guys get there by, did you ride the snake to the lake?
Yes.
Can you believe that an adult human created that line and said it set it into a working microphone and then approved it for public consumption at a point? Ride the snake to the lake. That no one in that band stood up to him. We just said, "Hey Jim, we know you're a shaman. We know you're that a Native American spirit has inhabited you. But the Native American who inhabited you writes terrible lyrics. Do you think it's possible for you to get inhabited by a talented Native American spirit? Do you think that can be, can we arrange that? That maybe a talentless, because he witnessed a car accident when he was a kid.
Right.
And then this Native American spirit inhabited him. That guy was the Jim Morrison of, right? Maybe Jim Morrison was talented. Maybe the problem has been that Native American ghost that inhabited him. He can't write lyrics.
When I was a kid, I always just kind of hoped that the Native American was just kind of like a hostage to Jim Morrison's terrible poetry. And he just, like, maybe he did something bad in his mm-hmm. previous life and that was his punishment.
But what did we all do wrong? What did we do wrong? Right? That's fine if that's his punishment, but what did we do wrong for him to have been created and for him to have stayed popular for 50 years? Imagine if he didn't die. Imagine if he didn't die, how many times the Doors would have gotten back together again and like done shows and done new albums and stuff, and there'd be a version of the Doors going around with just Jim Morrison and Robbie Krieger at some point. You know what I mean? It would be like, that would be the funniest thing ever right now. Them getting back together for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where they got to get up there and play, right? Oh, yeah. My goodness. I would love to see that. Thanks, bro. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Taylor from Lawrence, Kansas.
Taylor from Lawrence, Kansas. What's going on tonight, Chief?
I have one for the topic.
What is it, bro?
So when I was...
I'm doing this for effect, by the way. I hope you realize I know I'm saying chief and bro after every... I'm doing it for the peanut gallery in the other room there. So you have something for the topic, Taylor? What do you have?
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I was like probably 8 or 9. I had this watch that you could push a button on it, and it would talk like it would say the time. And I left it. So I took it off to wash my hands in the bathroom at school, and I kind of forgot about it. And then the next day, there was another kid who had, you know, a similar watch.
Yeah.
And I asked if that was my watch, and he said that it wasn't. Like, he said that it was his watch, essentially.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And he just looked you right in the face, and you're like, hey, is that my watch? The problem is you said, hey, is that my watch?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just said, no, it's not.
Yeah, I kind of gave him the opening to lie.
Then what did you say after that?
I remember completely believing him. I had no, like, I just trusted him. I probably just said, okay, and went back to practicing cursive or whatever I was doing in school.
You never got your watch back?
No, I didn't.
Were you sad?
I was pretty sad.
You were sad, right?
Yeah, I was.
How'd you explain that to your folks?
I don't really remember. I think that I don't think that it was ever really asked about. Like, I don't think my folks asked about it.
They didn't notice.
No.
They didn't notice the missing watch?
They didn't.
What do you say you and I go get that guy, right?
Sure. I think his name was Brian.
Yeah, let's go do it. Let's go get him. Brian, we're coming for you. All right, thanks for the call, buddy. Best show, you're on the air. Okay. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Josh from San Diego.
What's up with all the weird phones tonight? First of all, it's all dudes, and secondly, everybody's calling from some sort of Skype-type thing. What are you calling? What are you using to call me? And no offense, Scott. It sounds like we're doing a podcast about video games, like a cheap. Sounds like you're talking to other people playing video games.
Yeah, it's just a crappy iPhone.
So it's an iPhone. Let's get some ladies calling, please. Ladies, call the best show. No more. I think that's what happens when I ask about a thing like lying. Then all of a sudden these guys come out. You know what I mean? But maybe that's what it is. It brings out the, and look, I'm a guy too. I know what it's like, but it brings out the trash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The animals.
Yep.
So what do you got for me, buddy? What do you got?
My first memory of me lying.
Okay, you're done. You're out of here. You're pressing the button. Sounds like you're calling on a cheap phone. You press the thing. I got a ring in it. Have you never talked on the phone before? Is this the first? Was that your inaugural phone call? Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's with the phones tonight? Where are you calling from? What are you calling on? What are you calling on? A ham radio?
I actually have an iPhone 4S.
Oh, that's terrible. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tim and
this
Phil.
Sounds weird, too. Your phones, guys. What are you calling? It's like I'm talking on I got a convoy going here. Like I feel like I got to talk to the rubber duck next, right? I feel like I'm really. What are we doing? Are we going down the highway here? We got a Breaker 19. I got some best show callers coming through here. We got Jesse in Las Vegas coming through here. Come on, bring it on. What do you got?
Hi, Tom. It's me. I see a bear in the air and a plain brown wrapper parked on the planet.
You're on the air. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Tom. It's Christina in Rasmus, Queens. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. My daughter's getting over a little something, so we're trying to hold the fort down, and hopefully we don't get sick, too. But
yeah, hopefully.
So I had something up for the topic, if that's all right with you.
Yes, please. What do you got for me?
So I don't know if you recall me ever telling you this, but I used to be a substitute teacher in the city here.
Okay.
And when I first got hired, it was a little bit of a process before they realized kind of all the certifications and whatnot to go through. So I go and I have my interview, and they're like, okay, when can you start? And I'm like, fine, soon as possible. And they're like, great, we'll call you. You should be in a couple of weeks. 6 weeks later, I finally get in, and I was hired to be a literacy teacher for 5th and 6th grade, which I was pretty prepared to do. I was supposed to teach 25 periods a week of 5th and 6th grade, and I get to the school, and I sign in. And they're like, oh, by the way, you're actually going to be teaching 5 periods a week of 5th and 6th grade reading and writing, and you're going to teach 20 periods a week of 8th grade sex ed.
Of 8th grade sex ed.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And I had to spend 6 weeks of preparing to be a, like, 5th and 6th grade, like, reading and writing teacher.
Yeah, so now you got to teach these little animals about the birds and the bees, right?
Right, except you can't because nobody signed the waiver.
So nobody signed
actually discuss anything relevant to actual...
Yeah. See, what do you got?
They call the class family living. So you can't actually talk about.
You tell them about pimples? What are you talking about? Pimples and
wash
your face?
We did modified home economics.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of budgeting
and
looking for jobs.
You didn't
be like eighth graders to try to prepare them for the real world.
Sure, sure.
But basically, yeah, I was lied to big time.
So you bluffed you ended up. So they dumped that on you, or did you lie?
So I got hired to be a sub to come in and do reading and writing.
Yes.
And when I finally got there, they were very not forthcoming about the actual hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
So it took them 6 weeks longer to get me started than we had initially agreed upon. And then, when I finally got in the door, they were like, oh, by the way, you're not teaching reading anymore, but you've already signed on to do this for the rest of the semester.
And talk to them about, so you talked about...
Like how do you find a job and budget for a family?
Mm-hmm.
And responsibility and making sure that you had enough money before you spent money on fun that you paid the bills.
And what was the first thing you said to them? You said, well, the first thing you do is when you get a job application, you just check yes to anything so that, like I did, whether you're qualified or not, just say you can do it.
Right. So,
and you'll get a job, kind of like the one I have right now.
Kind of like the one I have like that. Yeah, it was terrifying. It was absolutely horrifying. Mm-hmm. I definitely had kids in my class who already had their own children. So that was the first thing. That was kind of shocking and sad.
And you had no preparation or training for any
thing
like this.
Because I was 23. I was 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my class was looking down on me from their height because it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely ridiculous. But
well,
I was definitely
that's what
lied.
You get for being a liar. You end up in situations you can't handle.
I wasn't a liar, Tom.
I'm kidding you.
Come on. I know you are. Come on.
All right. Well, look,
have a good night.
You have a great night.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you more than a lot. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Mike, for letting only women through. Glad you heard, and I put the request out there, and that's the one thing with AP Mike. You give him a request, he locks it down. So, to whom am I speaking?
Hey, this is Tom calling.
Where are you calling from, Tom?
Woodbridge.
Okay, what's going on tonight in Woodbridge?
Nothing. I have something for the topic.
What do you got?
I lied about my gender to get ahead on a call list for a call-in show.
And how'd that go for you? And he hung up. I would have talked to him. Give the guy credit. That was funny. Best show you're Hello. On the air.
Hi, this is Tim in Philly. How are you?
There we go. Great. Mike. Mike was off a little bit on that first one, but he righted the ship. Women only. I'm glad he heard my request. What's going on tonight?
Not too much. I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
So a few years ago, I was in Erie for a wedding, and there's not too much to do in Erie, as you might imagine. And so I was in my hotel room, and I was a little drunk, and I was on Facebook, and I wrote that I just read that Eddie Money did a stint in The Who in the early 70s during the whole Lifehouse era. And a guy immediately responded and said, you know, that was basically BS. So I went to Wikipedia, and I updated The Who's Wikipedia page, was back then you could do that, I guess.
Yeah.
And I put in a picture of Eddie Money, and I put in a caption saying Eddie Money performing Teenage Wasteland with The Who. We went back and forth for like an hour.
Yeah.
He was refuting it, and he was like, well, I guess Wikipedia says it.
Yeah.
It must be true.
Yeah, well, I think that's really funny. Have a great night. That was good. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the ones that didn't shake anyone's foundation. Best show, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Tom.
Oh, good. Well, see, look, third time's the charm. Mike was off target on the first two. I said women only. But he took control. That's what I like about Mike. He picks up. If he's wrong, he corrects it and gets it right. So what can I do for you, ma'am?
Okay. I'm a ma'am. I'm not a ma'am.
Well, what's your name?
Dan.
Where are you calling from, Dan?
Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
Greenpoint, to be specific.
Okay. Well, what can I do for you, Dan?
So I recently got into this weird Twitter beef with the lead singer of the Spin Doctors.
Okay.
And I just want to know sort of how to proceed.
You started it, I'm assuming, right?
No, not particularly. He followed me, and then I saw that he unfollowed me. So I guess I instigated it by saying, you know, hey, what's up? You unfollowed me? Is it because I ain't no follower back, girl? And then he wrote back with a very, you know, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, it was a mistake. My Twitter's been unfollowing, but maybe you should assume that it's a mistake. And then a lot of his followers started, you know, coming at me. So I don't know how to. I want to keep this going.
Why?
If that
Why?
Makes sense.
Why?
I don't know, because he's
There's not enough hurt in the world. Not enough hurt in the world. You gotta keep that going. You feed off evil. You feed off black energy, right? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A little bit, yeah.
Got that going, right? You felt you got a little Emperor Palpatine thing going on there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Come on. Hate leads their anger.
Chris Bannon is getting mad.
But also, you know,
okay.
Oh, come on. His press kits, it's funky.
What do you care? You don't like his music, so what? You don't gotta what do you listen to it? You don't listen to it. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? Just tell me what you do, champ. Well, what's your deal? What do you do that makes the world a better place?
Nothing good,
okay.
To be honest.
Okay. Well, why don't you go talk to the man in the mirror? why don't you try to make the world a more fun place, not try to bum out the guy from the spin doctors?
Well, I mean, you know what? It's not so much, maybe it's not him so much as his his followers.
Yeah, the people who enjoy his music. Yeah, you're right there. What bands do you like? Name a band you like.
I've been listening to a lot of, what's that guy? Link Ray.
Okay, yeah.
He's all right.
Okay. He's all right, yeah. Link Ray. Yeah, he's all right. Who do you love, though? Who do you love? Who do you love so much that you're just a silly fan of them?
Oh, this is not going to end well.
Who?
I'll give. I'm a Doors fan.
Okay. Yeah, you're busted. You're a busted
really?
Person. You gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta fix. You got a lot of fixing to do. So you just stop being so stop taunting the fans of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you started it. Hey, why didn't you stop following me? Who cares? Guy from the Spin Doctors, you don't even respect him, and he stops following you, and now you're mad.
I'm not entirely mad. I just want to know, like, if it... Should I keep going?
No, what's your name again? Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving you a nickname. I've given a couple nicknames out over the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
You're in Greenpoint, right?
Brooklyn?
Yeah, no, it's not, no. You're in Greenpoint, right?
Uh-huh.
Greenpoint's Toilet Dan is your nickname now. Okay? Toilet Man Dan is your nickname.
Right.
Greenpoint's Toilet Man Dan. And whenever you call, you have to say, hey, Tom, it's Greenpoint's Toilet Man Dan.
Sounds good.
Now, when you say goodbye, you say, it's Greenpoint's Toilet Man Dan signing off. So let's hear you do it.
Tom, it's been a pleasure. It's Greenpoint's Toilet Man Dan signing off.
There we go. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
It's good to see Mike. Mike learned. He is seventh time's the charm. So that's what they say. Oh, line four. Okay. What do you got for me, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. What's up?
I wish I was calling under better pretenses, because I've got a lie, actually.
A lie you told?
Yeah, honestly.
What is it with everybody? The thing is, I was lied to. And it's like, but no, I said it could go either way, but it seems like everybody says, here's my lie. Everybody's got their lie.
Sorry, I have a lie that I
let's hear it. What
concerns
you?
I lied to you. I lied to Mike.
Yeah.
I've actually been living a lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, what tell me about this.
I'm actually.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
There we go. Eighth time's the charm. What's up?
I'm sorry.
That's all
right. This is Sam calling from San Diego.
Okay, what's up?
I was lied to.
Yeah, what happened, Sam? Tell me.
This was when I was younger. I have a big family, some older brothers, and we had this lizard, an exotic Nile monitor lizard.
Okay.
That was very aggressive.
Yeah.
And they wanted to tame it. So they convinced me that we'd put Tabasco sauce on my finger, put my hand in its cage, and let it bite me. And it would supposedly let go right away.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it would learn not to bite.
Yeah, because you have Tabasco sauce on your finger.
Yeah. So I was probably 10 years old
okay.
at the time. It latched on. Well, first of all,
Now give me an idea. Who told you to do this? Who told you to do this? Your brothers?
My two older brothers.
Uh-huh. And you're how old now? 10?
10.
And they are
10,
how
11.
Old? How old are they?
probably like 14 and 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they tell their brother, stick some Tabasco sauce on your finger, stick it in the cage, and this rambunctious lizard will calm down. He'll chomp down on your finger, and then the Tabasco will make him stop chomping.
Yeah. So, it didn't work.
Yeah. How hard did this lizard chomp down on your finger?
Very hard. Very painful, and it didn't let go.
Uh-huh. Do lizards like Tabasco sauce or something?
I guess the thinking was that they wouldn't like it, but it was just an aggressive lizard, and they were looking to tame it.
Yeah,
I don't know who thought of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I believed it.
I think your brothers had no respect for you or the lizard. Like, they didn't care if the lizard got sick from Tabasco sauce or if you got your finger chomped off by the lizard.
Yeah, I think you're right.
How are your brothers doing now?
They're all right. We get along.
You ever bring this up to them?
It comes up anytime we get together.
Yeah, you want to get him back, don't you? You want to get him back, right?
I would like to. Yeah. I don't know how.
You ever prank them? You ever do anything, or are they in the lead right now?
They're 100% in the lead. I don't know how to get back at them.
Here's how you get back at them. Where are they? How far away do they live from you?
One's in Japan. One's about an hour away.
The one who's an hour away. You break in his house, right? Wait till he's asleep. You just watch him sleeping, right? Then you go, what's his name?
Dan.
Yeah, of course it is. Dan, the name of creeps tonight, man. And you go, Dan, wake up, right? Dan.
Yeah.
And what's your name again? Billy? What is it?
Sam.
Dan, it's Sam. Right? And he's like, oh, what? And you know what you do? You throw you drop a lizard right on his face.
Yeah.
Right? You pour, you blast some Tabasco sauce in his eyes. Right? Right in his eyes. Yeah. Tabasco sauce. Now here's what you do. You put Tabasco sauce right in his eyes. He can't see. Then you get like a pair of needle nose pliers and you just like pinch him. And he thinks, you say, that's the lizard's biting you. Right?
I like it.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. I'll get on the bus right now.
You do that. Then you go to Japan and do the same thing. Have a great night. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's Taylor in Denver.
Taylor in Denver. What's up, Taylor? How are you?
I'm well. I'm female.
You are. And I'm telling you, Mike, you put one more dude through, you're taking away your coconut crunchers. Just tell them no. Tell them no, Mike. Tell them no. 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 No, 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 no. 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 No, 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 no. You're a dude and you can't get through tonight on the best show. That's what you tell them, Mike. And if... Yeah, there you go. And if you want to talk to Tom... Whoa, ho, ho, right? And if you are a dude tonight, I'll tell you no, 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 no. Okay. What's going on tonight? How are you?
I'm fine. I would do the harmony part of that, but I don't think it's syncing up correctly.
Don't worry. I was off target on that anyway. You can never...
I have a tale that I'm embarrassed to tell you, Tom.
Let's hear it.
It's a me lying to someone tale.
That's all right. I'll allow it. Because it's both ways. I'd like some people to call with the lies they were told as well.
Well, you know, I think when people talk about the lies they were told, it implies they were dumb, and nobody wants to admit they were dumb.
Yeah, they'd rather admit that they were terrible.
Exactly.
How is that? I'd rather be dumb every day of the week than be terrible.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, I was terrible. This is a fourth grade story. Mm-hmm.
Well,
fourth graders can be pretty terrible.
Yes, they can. So what happened?
Well, so in my fourth grade class, there was a girl, and the poor kid. She was poor. She was poor, and it was just, you know, kids can be cruel, and so she was picked on, and she was just sort of a very unpopular kid. And
yeah, because kids had so much to do with the money they've got, right?
Well.
Fourth graders are so they've done so much to earn. Oh, what do you? Unless you're Richie Rich, you've done nothing to get that money.
It's true. No, well, unfortunately, she sort of. It's terrible to say, but she sort of smelled bad, and she sort of obviously wore secondhand clothes. And you know, none of us. Mm-hmm. This is not a rich town or anything. I was in a small town in Colorado, but. For whatever reason, there was some sort of hierarchy, yes, with regard to who was rich and who was poor. And her name was Prudence, which didn't do any favors either.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gave everybody in the class an invitation to her birthday party.
Oh, no.
Absolutely everybody in the class. And now, to be fair, the first thing I did was just nothing. I said nothing. I didn't respond. I just said, you know what, thank you for the invitation. When she gave it to me, and then, you know, a week went by, and I just assumed, well, other people are going, so it's fine. But then there was a day in class when Prudence's mom came to class, and apparently she had talked to the teacher, and they had decided the best thing to do was to call every kid up to the mom and the teacher and ask them why they didn't respond to Prudence's invitation. So I was kind of, I mean, I guess I was forced to lie because as a kid, I knew, like, well, I don't want to go, which, you know, the nice thing to do would have been to just go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a kid, so that's the only excuse I have. But I had to say something about, like, oh, my family goes to church at night or something made up.
Yeah,
you know,
night church.
It was really awful.
Yeah, my family goes to night church.
Yes, exactly. We're very keen on the night church. Yeah. We can't go in the day. We have to go at night.
Working so. On the night church, right? My family goes to Our Lady of Bob Seger, right?
I might still be in that church if that was the case. Sure.
So what? So you said you go to night church?
Yeah, and they were both—you know—they were adults, obviously, and a kid is lying to them, so they obviously knew that I was lying.
Yeah.
But it seemed like pretty much everybody in the class was lying.
Yeah.
So they basically made everybody march up and lie to them.
That's
awful.
Oh, well, it's bad for everybody. Kids don't know how to get through situations like that either. You're still a kid at that point. I'd say at that point, the mom can't drag all the kids up front.
I agree. I mean, it's terrible all the way around, but also that makes it even more terrible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, thank you for the call, and now I am saying, dudes, come back to me, please. Mike, you had it figured out. You knew. Nothing but dudes now. Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Bye.
Working on the night church. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Roxy in Los Angeles.
Roxy in Los Angeles. Do I know this Roxy in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
I do. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well.
You're well.
Makes me sound smarter if I say well rather than good, right?
Oh, I guess. Am I a jerk for saying that? I'm sorry.
No, it sounds classier.
This is proper grammar.
Yes, well,
right?
Look, again, I'm not smart. I'm not a smart person.
I'm not either.
Yeah, you're smart. I know you. You're smart.
Sure.
I don't got no smarts like that. I'm like a lunch counter guy. I'm like a, you know what I mean? Usually I go to a place to eat, I have to wipe my own table off. That's the kind of places I eat. Where I go, hey, this table's kind of, table's kind of dirty. And they're like, man, there's a rag over there.
Okay. You do it.
Yeah, you do it. Exactly.
You do it.
So what's going on, Roxy?
Not too much. I actually have one for the topic.
What do you have? Now, were you lied to, or did you do the lying?
I was lied to.
Okay, let's hear it.
When I was 17 of my senior year of high school, well, I should preface this by usually every other year my family would go into the city and, like, we'd get a hotel room along the parade route and watch the parade and, like, go see a Broadway play or two. Like, that was just our family tradition.
And what plays were you seeing? Like Starlight Express?
No. More like Les Miserables, Lion King. Mm-hmm. We saw Annie Get Your Gun one year. I don't know. Rent, obviously. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I grew up doing theater, so it was like I loved doing this. It was fun. But my senior year of high school, my parents, the day or two before Thanksgiving, I was told, you know, we're going into the city, going to go spend the weekend for Thanksgiving. And was woken up at 3 a.m. by an escort and my parents being like, you're going to boarding school in Montana. So I was flown out to the middle of nowhere in Montana at 3, 4, 5 a.m. And I did not go to the city that weekend.
Hold on a second. What happened?
My parents, I was sent to boarding school, and my parents had it planned, but I didn't know I was going.
So you got tricked.
I got tricked. I was lied to and tricked. But my parents definitely were like, oh, yeah, we're going to the city. We're definitely going.
Yeah, the city.
I wasn't going. They went, but I didn't go.
So they kept it vague. Yeah, you're going to the city. Butte. The city of Butte.
It was smaller than that. It was crazy.
Not the big city. Not Butte, Montana.
Mm-mm. Definitely not.
Well, that is
my
terrible.
My boarding school probably made up the population of the town.
I mean, were you kind of like bonkers to where they wouldn't have been able to get you to go there?
No, I think they just did it as like a safety precaution. It was just like it was recommended. Like, I wouldn't do anything crazy to, like, be like, no, I'm not going. Like, I was just in shock. I was like, wait, what? What's happening right now? So it just kind of happened, and I just went with it. And I was like, I don't want to try to fight this because I don't know what would happen if I did. So yeah. I just stayed very quiet.
So you just ended just up went. You ended up in boarding school.
I went to boarding school my senior year.
Well, the nice thing about that is you learned to say I am well rather than I am good. You would not have learned that if you didn't go to Montana boarding school.
Exactly.
So that's fancy. That's a nice little
silver
lining you got.
It was not fancy. It's not like that.
It wasn't fancy.
It wasn't like a boarding school. It was like a bad girls boarding school.
Okay. So you were just like a troubled, you were a troubled teen?
I guess. I was just a jerk. I was just a jerk of a teen.
I was just a jerk. Well, that...
I deserved it. My parents were probably, they were in the right for sending me away.
But now you can tell them it's like, hey, guys, can we just say that was not the greatest move? You didn't have to trick me to get there.
They're well aware of that, yeah. They feel terrible about it, so.
This wasn't like a Jenny Jones. This wasn't like a Jenny Jones camp, was it? With like a drill sergeant screaming in your face?
No, definitely not. Oh, like Outward Bound. There were a lot of girls that came from Outward Bound programs, and their stories were really bananas.
You ever see that? I remember on Jenny Jones when they'd be like, the teen would be like, "I don't care about anything," and it'd be like the drill sergeant would be screaming in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you just go
whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, and wouldn't you go like if some drill sergeant started yelling in my face, I hope I would go, wait, did I enlist in the Army? Please remind me when I enlisted in the Army between when I came on the show. And oh, I didn't? Oh, so you're just a guy screaming in my face.
Yeah.
All right.
Basically. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, Roxy, I'm glad you turned out okay.
Okay.
You're not a jerk now. The school de-jerkified you. Right?
Maybe. So. All right. I don't know about that.
Well, but, you're doing all right. Thanks for the call.
Doing all right. Bye. Thanks, Tom. Have a good night. Bye.
You too. I'm being told there's a special guest on the hotline. And I know we said that it's ladies only right now, but I'm bringing this person on right now. Sir, your name is Christopher?
Yes.
Now, Christopher, we're checking in with you quickly. You have an interesting, you are in an interesting situation right now, are you not?
It's true, I am.
What is it? Please explain your situation quickly, if you don't mind.
I'm currently living in Tonopah, Nevada, at a place called the Clown Motel.
The Clown Motel.
Yeah. It's a clown-themed motel in the middle of the desert. It's about 200 miles either way from Reno. And I'm going to be here for the next... Well, my first week is done. I have 3 more weeks to go.
And why are you doing this?
I'm not really sure. It's kind of a dare that got out of control.
So you're living at a place called the Clown Motel for what, a month?
Yeah.
And how scary is it?
It's the clown part isn't that scary. It's right next to a turn-of-the-century graveyard, so that's a little spooky.
A clown and, graveyard?
No, it's like full of miners and people who like built this town back in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
Oh, yeah. Someone just put a picture up on the Friends of Tom chat of like a shelf with like hundreds of clown dolls.
That's the front office.
Oh, yeah. The Clown Motel. So it's just all clown. Oh, now they put a picture of the sign out front. This is where you are.
It is. It's where I live.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
I'm not entirely sure.
You're trying to make your bones? Are you trying to make your bones? Right?
I'm you know, throwing myself in the face of danger and seeing what happens, I guess.
And how is it frightening though? Is there some rough customers hanging out at the Clown Motel?
That's the bit of the frightening part is the clientele. On Sunday, it was sort of raining all day, and there was a room full of bikers next door to me, and one of them, I guess, he got out of hand. He was drunker than I've ever heard anybody at 3 p.m., and basically started just swearing at his friends and sort of stomping around, and then he left. And then he came back around, like after midnight and was even drunker than he was before, and was mad at them because I think they wouldn't let him join his biker gang or something.
Why?
It was a bit more touch-heavy.
I'm seeing these pictures, and it's the pictures of clown dolls and the picture of the graveyard. It looks like they're wooden tombstones.
Yeah, it's like it's a real old cowboy sort of graveyard, and most of the headstones have the cause of death listed on them.
Why? Yeah. Why are you doing this? What are you going to do? Are you going to make a movie out of it?
Well, I set up a Kickstarter.
That explains it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah.
This is the second. This Clown Motel's the second dumbest thing you've ever done.
It is.
The Kickstarter takes the cake. And I'm going to say, I know now I'm going to get a thing for someone at Kickstarter. Why are you saying this about us? We do. No, I like Kickstarters fine. It's a case-by-case basis. So are there people dressed as clowns walking around there?
No. I did, as part of the Kickstarter, one of my stretch goals was to buy a clown outfit. So I wore it in the room last night. I promised that I would wear it, but not outside of the room. So
you, when you dressed up as a clown, were you just like, okay... This is the bottom right now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I want you to be okay.
3 weeks ago.
You're on Twitter. What are you on Twitter as? Xtop?
Yeah. XTOP.
XTOP. Why are you doing this? I don't get it, Chris. There's other ways to make your bones. Go, I don't know what to tell you. There's other ways. You want to make a name for yourself. You find other things. You're doing your clown routine. You're going to end up there's going to be one more wooden tombstone, right?
I did, I think, almost get abducted the other night. So.
Oh, okay. Almost.
But
right?
Yeah. I went out for a walk to clear my head.
Where are you? Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. You went out to walk to clear your head.
Uh-huh.
And what happened?
We're right on Highway 95. So it was, dark, very dark. Mm-hmm. And no cars coming through. And I started walking. I got a couple blocks away. And then this, creepy horror movie pickup truck sort of slowed down and then pulled off in front of me, a couple lengths ahead. And so I just turned around and came back to the Clown Motel.
Yeah, God bless. Look, I hope this book deal you get, I hope you get a book deal. I hope it better be a good... It's better not be some fly-by-night thing.
I'm taking all the offers right now, so.
Yeah. Offers. You're taking offers. Trust me, they're not going to send you the check now.
No.
They'll send you the check after you get out of clown prison.
Yeah, everybody's waiting to see if I make it out, so.
Yeah. Be safe, okay?
I will.
Be safe.
I will.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
Call us next week. Can you call next week?
Yeah, totally.
I want to make sure I want to call. I want you to call until you're out of there.
Okay, I will.
And if anything happens, just end the concept, right? End it. Leave.
Oh yeah, no, I drove here, so I can.
I'm
gonna
do my clown book. No, they're burying me alive. Right?
Yeah. All right. No, I can get out of here at any time.
All right. You have a great night. Be safe.
You too, Tom. Right, okay, bye. Thanks.
Mike! Get in here. Mike! Mike!
How's it going?
Mike, get in here.
How's it going, Gary?
Good. All right. Got it be Mike.
Thank you, sir.
What's up? Oh, boy.
How you doing, Gary?
Moving slow.
Sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry.
I'm not jittery like you.
Don't worry.
Twitchy.
What's up?
How much?
You can't. Welcome!
Yes. Yeah.
To the first episode of Gary and Mike at the Movies!
Here we go.
Now look, Mike.
Yeah.
I used to talk about movies, mm-hmm. movies. I don't anymore. I'm back to my roots. Want to do a show? Me and you will review movies.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's a good idea. Am I going to have to know box office statistics?
No, I'll do that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, don't you worry.
All right.
I'll hold that in down.
I don't have that info.
Okay, well, don't worry. Here's our theme. You ready for the theme?
All right.
Hold on. Man, what is it playing? All right, welcome back to another episode of Gary and Mike at the Movies.
Yeah.
My name's Gary the Squirrel, and I'm here with Maybe Mike.
Yeah. Who did that music?
My friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Jesse Eisner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know him?
Yeah. I've worked with him.
You have?
Yes, I have.
I think we'll get someone new to do the thing. All right. Welcome, movie fans, to the first episode of... Gary and Mike at the Movies. It's like
like Francisco and Ebert.
Yeah.
But, the difference? Only one of us is dead! Because Mike's boring.
Okay.
All right, here we go, here we go.
Did you align yourself with one of the critics more than the other on the original show?
Cisco!
You were, yeah, okay, all right. I'm a Cisco guy.
Really?
Yeah.
A keeper!
That was a quick change of heart.
I just switched.
Okay. Yeah.
So what's up, movie fans? Can I get a what from my movie fans?
What?
No, not you. So, The Martian opened with strong with $55 million at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke Gravity's record for October openings.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it did well. And, it was Matt Damon's second biggest opening behind Bourne Ultimatum, which brought in $69.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then, The Walk is a flop. The Walk out. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
People are walking out.
Yeah.
What a dumb movie. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the guy walking across? Right?
Everybody knows the story.
Yeah.
No suspense.
Stupid. All right. What else happened at the box office? Hotel Transylvania 2. Scared up. $33 million. Tom's waited $90.5 million. Which proves that, hold on. I'm not doing so good tonight.
Yeah.
And the Intern! 11.6. Pretty much on par with Nancy Meyers' 2003 film, Something's Gonna Give. All right, let's go on the reviews. First up, first movie. Where's the movie dude or announcer? This guy taking the scenic route.
Okay.
And the first film is Entourage.
Start off!
And the first film is Entourage, starring Kevin Connolly, Adrian Grenier, Kevin Dillon, Jerry Ferrara, Jeremy Piven, and directed by Doug Allen. The plot. Movie star Vincent Chase, together with his boys Eric Turtle and Johnny, are back. And back in business with super agent turned studio head Ari Gold on a risky project that will serve as Vince's directorial debut.
Like I told you 15 years ago, the next level is coming.
Hey, boys!
We'll be right back.
Nobody leave.
Business thing from the movie.
Vinny Chase.
Ari Gold.
I hear you got something for me.
My first movie is studio head, and boom, I want you to star in it.
Whatever I do next, I also want to direct. Ari.
Does he even know how to direct?
Ari.
I'm bored.
Holy
what? Ronda Rousey, the fighter.
I love her.
You know he's
not Ronda Rousey.
Didn't she used to be really fat?
If this movie tanks, Vince will not come back from this.
Boom, boom,
neither
boom,
will
boom.
I, and neither will you.
This could get ugly.
Trust me, it's all good.
Oh my God.
Doctor said she's gonna pop any second.
What's wrong?
We got a sex tape.
Oh God.
I'm getting married.
Oh.
God.
We need more money. Bye.
Oh, God.
I gave you $100 million.
You agreed to not go over.
Because you said I couldn't direct unless we agreed.
It's like when a girl asks if you want to bang her.
Shut up! All right.
Okay.
My review of this movie is stupid. It's one of the dumbest movies I ever saw in my life. It was a stupid TV show, and it's an even dumber movie.
Okay.
It's a complete waste of my time. It was poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
And moronic.
Any more adjectives?
I found myself getting dumber watching it.
Uh-huh.
Haley Joel Osment is in. He's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Dumpy looking. Looks like he just showed up from a tractor pull. The worst character in the history of movies. Billy Bob Thornton's in it. He sucks. The cameos are stupid. Gronk. Gronk! And Russell Wilson from the Seahawks.
Yeah.
This movie felt like more of an excuse to get free NFL tickets. Tend to put good cameos in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it sucked, and I give it 0 stars.
Okay.
How about you, AP Mike? You liked it.
No, I'm surprised that we're in agreement on this one. I think my two-word review would be instantly forgettable, because when you said we were going to do this segment, I had to actually watch it again. Just to reacquaint myself with what happened in that movie.
And how'd that go for you?
Yeah, it was terrible. You know, the best thing about the movie is the running time. You know, they could have went crazy. You know, like all these movies that go into 2.5 hours long now.
Oh, my God! Can you imagine 2.5 hours of that thing?
No. But I thought they showed great restraint. By, you know, keeping it to about 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Wait, that was only 1 hour and 40 minutes?
It does feel long, particularly that screening scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it goes on forever.
Partway through that movie, I was confessing to, like, knowing, like, where missile bases were that I don't even know. It was torture.
Did you watch the deleted scenes?
No.
The screening scenes could have been even longer.
The whole thing felt like a deleted scene.
Who's the that sort of Weasley sports guy? Is it Jim Rome? Is that
Jim Rome?
Yeah. He had a couple scenes.
Hey, clones. That guy?
He got cut out of the movie. He had a couple scenes in the screening scene. Al Roker got cut out. He was on the red carpet at the end. Him and Carson Daly. So, yeah, it could have actually been worse.
They should call this movie Douche-a-thon. Al Roker, Jim Rome.
What would you say?
Who else? Robert Blake?
What would you say was the dumbest moment in the movie? Which was the one that really stood out above very many?
The dumbest scene. Probably when they trick Eric into thinking, I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah, that was
I'm
bad.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Stupid.
For me, it was the...
must avoid.
When they replicated the overhead scene of them getting into the car. You know, like that was supposed to be some great moment of recognition.
Yeah,
from...
it's a classic moment. Didn't you realize?
Four guys getting into a car.
It's a classic moment. So what do you give it?
Zero.
Zero.
0 stars.
We both say the Entourage movie sucked. 0 stars.
Thumbs down. Are we sticking with the thumbs down or are we doing stars?
I'm sticking with it sucked. Thumbs down. Thumbs off. I'd take my thumb out to hitchhike away from that movie.
Yeah.
What a terrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was that? Can you believe it? It's so bad. Hide! Hide. I'm making a movie called Hide in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to hide.
You don't think they can make, you know, a movie within a movie that's dumber than the actual movie you're watching.
But this movie's supposed to win awards.
They do it. They do it with Hyde.
And the winner is Johnny Drama. Like, he'd win for that.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody winning.
You didn't care for his story arc? With the
help me, bro. Bro. I'm a loser, bro.
Baby bro. It's baby bro.
Yeah, baby bro. Guy's only been in 80 things.
Uh-huh.
He's a loser. He's only worked for 40 years in champion. He's a loser. I'm a loser, baby bro. All right. What's next?
You're running the show. I'm following your lead, Gary.
All right. Let's bring in the movie dude to announce our next flick.
The next movie is Being Evil.
Why is he reading it like this? Did you ask him to do it like that?
I didn't even know he was going to be part of this segment.
Next week, new movie, dude. Go, please. Go ahead. That didn't mean stop.
The next movie is Being Evil.
You said that already.
Director Daniel Young. The plot. The real story behind the myth of American icon Robert Evil Knievel and his legacy.
And here comes Evil Knievel. He's not hesitating. He'll go.
I didn't think of Evil Knievel as a daredevil. I thought of him as a superhero. No one ever went for it like that before. I grew up in the 70s.
There was a certain cynicism throughout the country. Society was changing.
I guess we were looking for some sort of a hero.
It was an amazing time.
Evil was on top of the world.
He's probably the only man in history who's become very wealthy by trying to kill himself.
In the span of 7 years, he became one of the most famous people in the world.
Some people just can't handle that fame.
I didn't know the story of the man, and it was pretty complex.
He was a crook, a con man, I guess you'd call him.
California judge has ordered Evil Knievel to serve out the rest of a jail sentence behind bars.
Some of the stuff is tough to reconcile, but there'll never be another Evil.
I do not ask for your respect, I demand it.
He created a character named Evil Knievel and then lived the part.
He was the greatest reality show before reality shows existed.
I'm afraid.
I'm Evil Knievel, honey. I'm not supposed to be afraid.
It's definitely come a long way from daredevils to professionals.
The thing that's really inspiring to all of us is the showmanship side of it.
That's such a large part of our culture now. It's a crazy story. It's just fast, faster, and disaster.
Documentary about one of the creepiest dirtbags in the history of America.
Yeah.
Total con man. Basically a low-level thug and criminal who tricked his way into being like a hero to kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then couldn't keep his dirtbag ways under control. Ended up beating a guy with an aluminum bat. Ended up in jail.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he was also trying to kill himself in front of everybody by doing stunts that he made up.
Yeah.
On television. So what did you think of Being Evil?
Well, as a documentary, I mean, it sort of tells the story. You get the warts and all. But as you said, a lot of people will be creeped out by him. He was not, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 70s too. And so I was like the right age for all this crap. And, you know, me and my friends were into it for a while. But, you know, after the Snake River Canyon debacle, you know, I pretty much, you know, that's what I thought of him. I thought of him as a, you know, a fraud, a con artist. And pretty much that was the end for me. Even at 13 years old, I kind of knew this guy was a, you know, he was a fraud.
He was trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all his mom. It's a pretty good story.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, he's a dirtbag.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, it says something about...
He's not even good.
The
American... He crashed 90% of the time. He couldn't even stick the landing.
But the American public fell for it. I mean, you know, and actually the most interesting part of the documentary to me was the what happened at the Snake River Canyon jump with the people who showed up. And that said something about who was following him. And it was like all these biker gangs showed up. They assaulted a marching band of high schoolers.
They attacked a marching band!
They were pulling off their clothes.
He's not even riding a motorcycle! He got in a tube! And they just launched... He's supposed to be a motorcycle guy! Then he goes, I went and jumped the Grand Canyon! It's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life! So, then they say, no, you can't do it!
And the parachute's coming out as the thing's going off the ramp!
Because he pressed it after 1 second!
The G-forces were too much for him.
Yeah, because he's a moron! What do you think of this math equation? Masses plus motorcycle equals Evel Knievel!
No. I have more respect for masses. And actually, that was another part of it, that, again, in 1975, after Altamont, the Hell's Angels were enlisted for security at the Snake River jump.
Because these idiots were all going to fall off a cliff trying to watch this guy on a motorcycle.
Yeah, everybody was getting close to the edge, and there was fear that they were going to go over the side. Yeah, that was great.
How's this guy a role model?
He's not a role model.
And he's a blowhard on top of all of it.
Everybody's calling him a hero. How's he a hero? You know, he did everything for himself. It was all for money. And like you said, he failed more than half the time. So, like, how is he a hero?
Because he had rocks in his head.
His dumb fur coats. His
dunce.
His walking sticks.
Yeah. His big belt buckle.
Belt buckle. I mean,
can you imagine this guy?
He was the worst of the 70s wrapped up in one package.
One dirtbag.
I mean,
nobody's dressed in white.
Yeah,
he's a hero.
He's a hero. Yeah, number one. Number one.
You know, from that motorcycle league where you get ranking.
And then George Hamilton is in there, of course. You know, with his dumb movie that he made about this guy.
Yeah,
still
evil.
Still tooting that horn.
But then this guy's like, he's like, I just want kids to see you gotta believe in your dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh, yeah, hey, my kid rode his bike into a ditch.
Broken arms.
Trying to be like his hero.
I wonder how many broken arms, broken legs, broken clavicles.
I wonder how many kids beat up other kids with aluminum bats because of Evel Knievel. My hero did it.
Yeah.
So what's your rating?
Thumbs down. Zero stars. let me hedge that. I mean, the documentary is pretty much straightforward. I give him credit for not building him up so much as a hero, even though there's all these guys saying he's a hero and, you know, he meant so much to them and, you know, he inspired these extreme sports people. Well, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, but they're good, too. You ever notice you watch them and they're, like, doing all the stunts?
Yeah.
And they all look good?
Yeah, and they don't crash.
This guy's getting on a motorcycle. He wipes out every time.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah, not good.
He inspired all these people to do a better job than he did.
So what do you give it?
I give it about a 5, 6, you know, in between.
Out of what? 10?
Yeah, out of 10. I mean, it's the documentary tells the story.
You're doing 1 out of 10. 1 to 10, I'm doing stars.
Okay. Okay.
I give it 2 stars.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't know anything about him or the 70s, I think it would be, you know, educational.
And he also put down these motorcycle gangs. These guys are scum. Yeah. Meanwhile, what's he doing? He's no different. He's just got more money.
And then he blew it all.
Yeah, that's a shocker. All right, now we're going to do all right. What next? Our picks.
Picks.
What's your pick? What's AP Mike's pick?
My pick is Mr. Turner, a Mike Lee movie about the British painter J.M.W. Turner. Mike Lee's one of my favorite directors, so I'll watch anything he's done. I knew this wouldn't be a hit with you, Gary.
Oh, no. But, oh, we're still doing it?
Yeah. Have you ever seen any Mike Lee movies, Gary?
I did.
Yeah, which one?
Topsy-Turvy!
Topsy-Turvy, okay. Did you like it?
Jim Broadbent.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. You might like Mr. Turner, then.
I'll check it out.
It's historical. Yeah, it's a biopic.
My pick is Spy! 2015, director Paul Feig, Melissa McCarthy is a spy.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Yeah, okay.
It's got Jason Statham in it.
Okay.
he's like, he does comedy.
Is this his first comedy?
I think so, intentionally, yeah. I think the first comedy would be Crank 2.
I can honestly say I've never seen a movie with Jason Statham.
Is that Statham?
Statham.
Statham. All right. What do you think of this show? I think it's fun.
I think this was a start, yeah.
It's nice we got along.
We did. We right? agreed for the most part. I was expecting a bit of a debate on some of these.
We got to pick some movies so we can get into it.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you kept bugging me about doing the Entourage movie. Please, can we watch the Entourage movie? Please, I want to see it again. I can't wait.
Wait a second. You're the one with the Blu-ray, Gary.
I can't wait to hang out with my boys again. Can't wait to hang out with my boys.
Why didn't they just call that show Bros Before Hoes? I mean, that's pretty much the general philosophy that they were putting out there.
They should just call that show Stupid People. The movie. Stupid TV show, the movie.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Is that the dumbest show you've gone to the bitter end on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say mine was Sons of Anarchy. And actually, Ray Donovan is making a go for it now. This season was really bad.
Spy. I picked a click. All right, everybody. This has been Gary and Mike at the movies. You seriously gotta get a different movie, dude. That guy was terrible. I don't even know what his name was. You did? I thought his voice was the worst.
All right. How about that? Gary and Mike at the movies. Got that old chemistry back. That old Siskel and Ebert feel. Let's go back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to the guy behind the real AP Mike on Twitter.
Okay.
That's basically what I have for the topic. I wanted to come clean. I've been living a lie. So.
What's your actual name?
Chris.
Chris. What? You're running this. I'm not gonna. You know. You're trash. Best Show. You're on the air. Hello, hi, best show. No? Best show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. It's Lisa in Orlando.
Lisa in Orlando. How are you, Lisa?
I am pretty okay. How's that?
Pretty okay? I'll take it.
Okay. I really enjoyed Gary and Mike's show, by the way.
Yeah, I think it might, we'll see. We'll see if it has legs.
It actually made me want to see the movies, though. That's the weird part. So.
Well, they were both pretty rough on that Entourage movie.
Yeah, I like that. Stupid TV show, the movie. Perfect. So I was lied to, and I think I must have been a really gullible kid because I have a few different stories. So you can pick. Do you want hermit crabs or Morlocks?
Morlocks are what now?
Hermit crabs.
Hermit crab? No. What is a Morlock?
Well, do you remember the movie The Time Machine? Like the original one from the 60s?
I don't.
Time Machine, Orson Welles' Time Machine?
I don't.
Oh, well, this story will have no legs for you then.
Okay. Well, let's do hermit crab.
Okay, let's do hermit crab. So I was about 5, and I really wanted a dog or a cat. So my parents decided I could get hermit crab because I guess they thought that as a 5-year-old, they'd probably be the ones who were going to end up taking care of the dog or the cat. So hermit crabs were my very first pet.
But you know
so,
when you know when parents do that, they're like, we don't want to take care. What, they don't like, they don't get any enjoyment out of the dog? You know what
right.
I mean? What are they,
I know.
What are they, dead inside? They're not going to get, we hate this dog. Stop it. It's a giant guilt trip.
Well, they let me pick them out anyway, my two very special hermit crabs, and I named them Damien and Domino, and I don't know why, but, you know, I was 5, so what are you going to do? But, so, anyway, I really loved those hermit crabs. They became, you know, my pets, and I'd feed them and take care of them, and, you know, I'd introduce all my friends to them, and I'd bring them in the yard and ask people who would come by if they wanted to meet them. So anyway, there was this older kid in the neighborhood who I thought was really cool, and I guess he was probably like 7. So I invited her over one day to play, and she came over, and she convinced me that my hermit crabs would be really much happier in my swimming pool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, my gosh, she's probably right. It's a huge body of water. It's like they'll be in the ocean. You know, I don't even actually know where hermit crabs generally come from. I guess probably the ocean. But anyway, so I put them in the pool. And, you know, they died.
Yeah, because this creep.
Immediately.
And did she say that knowing that would happen, or she said it not knowing?
I, to this day, don't know. And I probably never saw her again after age 8. So I remember my brother telling me he was friends with her older brother. I think he said they had one of those pools that didn't have chlorine in it at their house, like a saltwater pool.
So she might have just made a mistake then.
She might have made a mistake, but I don't know.
I don't know. Well, it's
got a bad feeling about it.
Yeah, it's just not good every which way, you know. It's just not good all around. I'm sorry.
So anyway, but my next pets were cats, and they lived a very long time.
Good, you didn't.
I never put them in the pool.
Yes, you kept your cats out of the pool. That's a good.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. Everybody should keep their pets out of the pool for the most part.
Yes, well, unless they want to jump in the pool.
Yes, exactly. Unless it's a fun dog who likes splashing around in a pool.
Right.
Then you're cleaning dog hair out of your pool filter.
Or actually, my parents would be.
Yeah, but that's fine. All right, Lisa, I appreciate the call. You have a great night.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Bye. One more song. His record is out now. It's called Turkey. It's great. It's Mike Kroll. Yeah, Mike Kroll, from the album Turkey on Merge Records. La La La. Our own Pat Byrne was out on tour with Mike. Is Pat here?
Yeah.
How was it, Pat?
Highs and lows.
Highs and lows. Ups and downs. But that's the road, man. I know what it's like when Sharpling and Worcester are on tour, like when we play, we'll be playing in, we'll be doing shows in Toronto and Boston and Philadelphia in November and December. You go get tickets over at stereolaughs.com/tour. That's stereo, LAFFS.com/tour. And the road's rough, man. It giveth and it taketh away. I'm glad you're back, though. Did it? Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
Bobby from New Jersey.
Who there? What the what?
Oh, Bobby from New Jersey.
Bobby?
Somerset County? Yeah.
What's up, Bobby?
Not much. I got one for the topic.
What do you got?
Okay. Well, one time when I was about, I guess, 13 years old, my brother was 15, we shared a bedroom together, and he punched me over, you know, nothing. You know, punched me over nothing.
Yeah.
So I went downstairs to speak with my mother about it, and, you know, I told her he punched me, and she told me, she lied right to my face, she said, "You know, we've had cameras in your room from some time, and I was watching the camera. He didn't punch you." She just lied right to my face like that.
"We have cameras in your room."
Yeah, it wasn't even a good lie because, you know, we would do stuff. We weren't, you know, we'd be eating candy. We weren't supposed to be eating.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have seen that.
Yeah. That's not a cool. That's not cool. We got cameras.
Yeah.
That messes with a kid's head.
She never mentioned it again, though.
That messes with a kid's head, right?
Yeah, I'm probably weird.
Why don't you go film them, right? Why don't you go film your parents, right?
You know, they're sleeping right now. I could just pop right up there. You know, we got a ladder.
Yeah, we got cameras. Why don't you actually mount a camera in their room? Be like, "Yeah, I got cameras in your room, too. You rats." Right? You rats. All right.
Yeah, I'll go down to Best Buy. Thank you.
And thanks for the call, buddy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jacob in Philadelphia.
Bad phones, man. What's up, Jacob? You going to the Sharpling Worcester show in Philly?
Yes, I am. I have my ticket above my desk.
Good. Good man. What's up? What's up, my friend?
So I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
When I was about 12 or 13 years old, I was in Vermont with my family going skiing. My uncle was driving us to the mountain in his truck, and he had, like, one of those police scanners that let you know when a police car is nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a very, like, high-pitched, weird sound.
Yeah.
So I heard the sound, and I asked everybody in the car, because nobody else responded to it. So I was like, "Does everybody else hear that?" And they all told me no. And then it happened again the next day and the next day. And they kept telling me that I was the only one in the car that could hear it. And obviously they were lying to me, and they thought it was real funny.
They were gaslighting you.
Yeah.
Right?
Made me go a little crazy.
Yeah. Not cool. They lied to you. That's a bad one. I think that's a bad one.
In hindsight, it's kind of funny. But at the time, I really thought that I was the only one hearing that song.
Well, you made it through, champ. You're doing all right. Thanks for the call, Jacob. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Miles.
Miles, where are you calling from?
Australia.
Miles from Australia. What's going on in Australia tonight or this morning?
Not much. It's the afternoon.
Okay. What's up?
When I was on a trip overseas, I had a pet dog, and it was still alive. And while I was overseas, I was talking to my parents, checking to see if it was still alive, and they said it was.
You call your dog it? You always call your dog it? He or she? Now?
He.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, by the time I got back, I was in the car driving from the airport, and they picked me up. And they said, oh, yeah, he's dead.
Oh.
And I said, what? They said, yeah, he died. We had to put him down. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And he's like, well, we couldn't really keep him alive, so I had to put him down.
I don't get it. What was the lie, though? The lie was what?
That he was still alive. I checked to see if he was still alive, and he wasn't.
Oh, this is a bummer, man. I'm sorry. Have a good night. Can't do more of that. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Laura in Toronto.
Laura in Toronto. What's going on tonight in Toronto?
Not too much. I'm just counting the days till you're here.
Are you inside or outside?
I'm inside.
Inside, but you were outside, I'm sure, right?
Earlier, yeah.
Yeah. And you're walking around your neighborhood?
I was earlier tonight, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm inside now.
Sure. But when you're walking around that neighborhood, and be honest, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You look in a window or two, don't you?
It's human nature to be curious, right?
Yeah. So you're walking, but you slow down a little bit, right? Like you're walking through a neighborhood, you're just like, what's going on in that house?
Yeah, I guess I get curious sometimes. Yeah. I don't know.
Canadian peeper.
Yeah.
Canadian lady peeper. Right? You just can't help it.
I can't help it.
You're walking
along.
I've been
lying for too long. It feels good to be honest.
You're walking
along
with your parka, right?
Yeah.
It's already, how cold is it up there already? What is it already? 2 degrees Celsius up there already now?
It was really cold on Friday, and then it warmed up again. I busted the parka out and put it away already.
So you're walking around in your parka, let's just say. Eating an Aero bar. What are you eating? A Coffee Crisp, an Arrow.
Yeah. Coffee Crisp for sure.
What is the one, Mr. Something? Isn't there one? It's like Mr. Something.
It's Mr. Big.
Mr. Big. The Chris Noth candy bar. Right? Hi, doll. It's me, Chris Noth. Hey, Canada. It's your old friend, Mr. Big from Sex in the City. Want your whole, if you want to keep that Sex in the City magic alive, try the Mr. Big candy bar. It's got chocolate, caramel, nougat. Is that nougat? What is nougat? What is nougat? They're always talking about nougat in these candy bars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nougat.
It's just goo.
Yeah, it's goo. Exactly. It's sweet. It's sugar.
It is. One of, I think that's like, all it is.
Yeah, it's one of the six permutations of sugar. What if we took this sugar and we kind of just twisted it this way? Then it's caramel. Hey, what if we took this sugar and we twisted it that way? Now it's nougat. So you're walking around. You're eating your Mr. Big. You slow down. You see something going on in the window. I'm not saying you got your face pressed against the window, but...
Mm-hmm.
You're walking through the neighborhood. You see something's going on in that house. Maybe somebody's eating a dinner at a table, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You stand there and you watch them for a minute, just for a minute. Oh, what are they eating?
Yeah.
Right. It's human nature.
Absolutely.
And, what are they having? Oh, are they having a maple glaze? Okay. Right. What are they eating? A double chocolate and a maple glaze?
Pretty normal dinner, but I got it checked, you know?
Pretty normal dinner. Can you imagine if that was a dinner up there? Did you hear that McDonald's down here, I don't know if it's up there too, today they started offering breakfast all day.
Yeah, it's a real game changer.
It's a real game changer for stomach aches, the stomach ache game. Now, people can have, because it goes, basically McDonald's decided you can get, now you can go in the middle of the day, and not only can you can get more than just garbage. You can get garbage with eggs, like egg-based garbage. And, oh boy, I can't wait to eat some McDonald's for dinner, like an Egg McMuffin for dinner. I'm sure those employees there are just loving the idea that they've had to do double duty on the menu now. And, yeah, keep making that stuff and all the other stuff. I don't know, man. Not for me.
Thanks.
I like a Filet-O-Fish bun. That's about it. If McDonald's just sold that Filet-O-Fish bun, I'd be there every night. Softest bun in history.
Yeah.
McDonald's Filet-O-Fish bun. Just picture that bun, right?
You know, I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh.
Too busy with the chocolate bars we have up here, I guess.
Why don't you go get one tonight? A McDonald's.
Yeah.
I know there's one open in Toronto. I went with Damien to a McDonald's. Damien from F'd Up, we went to a McDonald's when I got up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always one open. It's civilized up here, right?
Yeah, it is. You can go get some Hordies.
Absolutely.
Some McDonald's, right? You ever hear those old timers that say McDonald's?
Yeah.
So what can I do for you tonight? What's going on? Other than you staring in windows.
That was the main thing.
Yes. What's up?
But I hadn't for the topic. I don't know if you still have time for that.
I do.
Sure. Okay. I was lied to, but it was a good lie.
What is it?
So when I was a kid, I grew up in a small town with like one little mall. It's the kind of place that now its main business is getting busted by the RCMP for selling designer knockoffs. But so it was the one place to see Santa in December. And I'm not upset that I was lied to that Santa was a thing, but because of this mall Santa, I ended up believing in Santa a couple years later than I should have, because he knew everything about me. He would know the names of my friends I was walking from school with, and that I liked to read a lot, who my brothers were, stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. I really felt like he was real. And then, you know, 10 years later, so I'm college age, and I'm looking in my newspaper, and I'm reading an obituary for my elementary school crossing guard, where it says that he was the mall Santa, which I had no idea, because he lied to us every year and said he was going to Florida. But instead, he was extending my belief in Santa for like 2 extra years. It's a nice lie.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You did it a poignant thing down the home stretch. You made us all a little sad.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And thanks for calling. Have a great night.
Cheers, you too.
Okay, bye. Best Show, you're on the air. Final call.
Hi, this is Ryan in Salt Lake City.
What's up, Ryan?
Well, I'm calling just because I'm very impressed with that gentleman who's staying at the Clown Motel in Tonopah, because I actually stopped there on my way to see you in L.A.
From Salt Lake City, that's where you decided, of all the places you could stay.
I didn't stay there, to be fair. I actually stayed the night in Ely, Nevada.
Okay.
Which is a nightmare all in itself, at the jailhouse casino, playing alien slot machine all night. But I woke up in Ely, made sure I stopped at my personal Disneyland, which was the Clown Motel in Tonopah. It's amazing. And then I got to L.A. through Death Valley with 15 minutes to spare to see you guys perform in a fantastic show.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate it.
It was a hoot and a half, buddy. It was a hoot and a half.
That's what we shoot for, hoot and a half status. I always say backstage, if we can just bring these people a hoot and a half, we did our job.
It was weird. I was hoping for maybe one hoot, but you did deliver that full half.
A hoot and afterwards. A half. You really are from Salt Lake City. A hoot and
I'm
a
sorry.
Half.
I'm sorry. I have a straw in my mouth, and I'm wearing overalls, and I'm putting a pig to bed. So,
no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's a little corny, a hoot and a half, but I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it.
I got nothing. I had the big excitement was to go to the Tonopah Clown Motel on my way down to L.A. I will say he described it perfectly, and they even offer, you know, they have a big clown sign that's like, motorcycle, welcome. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'll be okay. It's pretty fantastic.
I love it. I love it.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, Chief. You have a great night. Well, that was a sad one tonight, right? They all can't be sunshine and lollipops. But it was nice to have some texture here on The Best Show. It's not all just rainbows, right? Hey, man, we don't just do fun shows. But there were some laughs, right? We had some laughs. Right? Some good times. Do you have fun tonight, Mike? Good. You have fun tonight, Dudio?
Yeah.
The dude who built the studio?
Yeah.
How about you, Pat Byrne?
I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good. You're just happy you're not in a van anymore. So you're not a good judge of a thing. Kristen, you have fun?
Yeah.
She left. Kristen left. She had fun. And I had fun, too, and I hope you all had fun listening. Best Show will be back next week. My friends, come see us at C. Sharpling and Worcester live, Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, all through late November and December we're doing those shows. They are the last shows of 2015, and they are going to be a lot of fun. Do not miss them. Can't wait to do them. It's going to be a blast, and we will see you then, and I will see you all next week, and thank you for listening. Here is something by Negative Scanner from a single they put out on Trouble in Mind. This is a song called R.I.P., keeping with the ghoulish tone tonight. Here's R.I.P., Negative Scanner. Nope, sorry. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. It's coming. It's coming. Hold on. Good night.